out, Denham. He knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Vitka. Two numbers may help define where we are as a nation. One of the numbers is 8. It is 8 days to the election. The other number is 101. That is the American death toll in Iraq for October, one of the bloodiest months in nearly 2 years. Military consultant Jeff McLaughlin says with the job still left to be done, more sacrifice will be required of U.S. troops.
Soon we'll need to confront the militia groups in Iraq if, in fact, we're to succeed in Baghdad in providing basic security in that city. And if we do that, there's a very good possibility that's going to expand the level of violence, and we're going to see some real hard fighting ahead.
President Bush, who was sought to make the war a political advantage, is pressing the flesh in territory where a Republican flag has long flown, but where there could be a changing of the guard. Correspondent Peter Mayer.
With control of Congress at stake, President Bush has traveled to his home state to campaign for a write-in candidate in what has been GOP territory. He's appearing at an airport rally for Shelley Sekula Gibbs. She's the write-in candidate hoping to succeed former House Republican power Tom DeLay. He resigned after he was indicted on campaign finance charges. Even though he's not running, DeLay's name is still on the ballot. Polls indicate a strong showing by Democrat Nick Lampson. Peter Mayer, CBS News with the president in Sugar Land, Texas.
How do you size up November 7th on the national stage? Political analyst Larry Sabatone.
All we know is that Democrats are gaining seats and a substantial number of seats. It could be enough to take over one or both houses. The House will go first, the Senate second. The Senate may never go.
Change is coming to the American Red Cross. It's streamlining the board, eliminating more than half the members, which would mean a bigger voice for local Red Cross chapters. Change had to come in the wake of the controversies that befell the organization, according to Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy.
There was a lot of concern that people who needed help were not getting it after Katrina, and that things weren't well coordinated, and also that there was some fraud that went on, and there was a feeling that things just were not very well managed.
Congress, which has been one of the Red Cross's major critics, must approve any changes. It's a day of heartbreak in Tyler, Texas. Goodyear closing its plant there. More than 1,000 jobs gone. In Winston-Salem, nearly 400 people out on the street because VF Jeanswear is shutting the doors of a plant there. Both stories have more in common than the ending. Financial reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Automakers, tire makers, apparel companies in particular are really being hurt by these low-cost imports that are pressuring their business. Companies like VF Jeans and Goodyear Tire are now finding that either getting out of certain industries altogether or outsourcing certain jobs are going to beef up their bottom line. That means a loss of jobs here in the U.S., but for these companies, it means millions of dollars in savings.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials down 3, the NASDAQ up 13. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Ryan.
I think I'm having a heart attack.
I have you on Hawkinsville Road.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll get emergency services online.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Dispatch.
I have a customer say she's experiencing a heart attack.
You're having chest pains? Do you have any history?
Yes, I had open heart surgery and now I have a pacemaker.
Are you having trouble breathing?
Yes.
I'll get an ambulance to you right away.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Yes, ma'am, I see some lights coming.
You take care, ma'am. I hope all is well.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services cost only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
A proposal to phase out artery-clogging artificial trans fats for menus in New York City was today the subject of first public hearings, a change that could push restaurant chains to move more quickly to change cooking oils. Rich Lamb of CBS radio station WCBS reports.
It was a food fight at the Board of Health, some saying the alleged threat posed by trans fat is a lot of baloney, but others are convinced.
Trans fat is the single most harmful kind of fat.
Michael Jacobson of the Center for Science and the Public Interest supports the trans fat ban, saying it clogs arteries. Spokesman Denny Lynch says Wendy's has already banned trans fat and flavor hasn't gone down the drain.
We were able to make the switch without having any impact on the taste of the product.
Some small restaurant owners are afraid the Board of Health will slap them with huge fines for frying with the wrong oil.
Kentucky Fried Chicken wants to phase out trans fats, but hasn't found a good alternative yet for its biscuits. Bill Vitka, CBS News.
I'll admit it. I'm as selfish as they come. Because when it comes to my small business, no one else is looking out for me. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need to help me make my customers happy. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, business is a game of survival of the fittest, and I plan on winning.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind, yours, Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Peter B. Collins!
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco. We're live from the left coast. Wherever you happen to be, Sacramento, Eureka, Monterey, Coos Bay, Oregon, or Phoenix, Arizona, I'm glad you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a lot to talk about on the program today with 8 days left until the midterm elections next Tuesday. Lots of excitement afoot in the land. And, of course, the airwaves are just loaded with negative political messages. On today's program, Daniel Shulman from Mother Jones Magazine will join us in about a half an hour to describe the technique called push-polling. It's widely in use, largely by Republicans, and it takes junk robo phone calls to a whole new level. Also on today's show, progressive challenger Tony Truppiano. He's running for Congress in the suburbs of Detroit. We're in full support of Truppiano, and you'll find out why coming up about an hour from now. Then we're going to talk about the future of the Democratic Party, and can the Democrats succeed without the Southern strategy? Thomas Schaller is a university professor, and he's written a book called Whistling Past Dixie. He'll be with us coming up next hour. Whenever you'd like to talk with us, lines are open toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And for our listeners in Phoenix, you didn't do anything different. But over the weekend here in California, we switched back to standard time. And the Peter B. Collins Show, for the foreseeable future, until daylight time returns in the spring, we'll be live in Phoenix on KPHX from 4 to 7 p.m. local time. And every week we kick off our Monday with a conversation with a representative of Media Matters for America. And Jameson Foser is our designated representative today. J-Mo, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. I had a good weekend. We had the last gasp of summer here in the Bay Area, and now the cooler weather is moving in. But we're coping the best we can. How are things in Washington?
Well, things aren't too bad. The weather here is quite nice today.
Oh, that's good. Well, one of the big things that dominated media coverage last week was the political commercial that Michael J. Fox videotaped, and he was on in Missouri for Claire McCaskill, and I guess three or four other campaigns are benefiting from a TV spot focused on stem cell and contrasting the Democratic candidate with Republican candidates in various races. And this prompted a remote diagnosis by none other than Dr. Rush Limbaugh, who pronounced that he believed that Michael J. Fox didn't take his medication or was acting, because in these commercials, due to his Parkinson's disease, his body twitches and moves around clearly uncontrollably. And Rush kind of made an apology, and we're going to listen to his half-hearted attempt here in just a second. But one of the other issues we'll talk about is that he mugged for his own webcam. The webcam is available to premium subscribers at the Limbaugh website, and he's crying foul because somebody used that footage, put it on TV, and he claims sped it up. Let's listen to Rush first, and then we'll talk about the flap that he created here.
The way I saw him in this ad. Never. I've seen Parkinson's disease sufferers. I know a couple. And I've never seen this. I just had never seen it. I run a radio show here. And I have a camera right there. I'm pointing to it. Subscribers to my website can watch the program, and hundreds of thousands do each and every day. So in the process of describing for them, after all, I am a reporter.
Oh, whoa.
In the process
of
describing what I was watching.
Wait a minute. That's a shocking revelation. Rush Limbaugh claims he's a reporter?
That's probably not the most outrageous claim he's about to make.
Okay, here we go. Continue, Rush.
It is a shock, as you've all seen in it. It's shocking. It's unbelievable. You don't see this kind of thing every day, particularly in a television commercial. Not even a public service announcement for the cause that might be involved. You see something like this. And you couple that with the fact that I've never seen Michael J. Fox in this way. I began to try to describe for viewers on my Ditto Cam what I had seen. Now, anybody who listens to me describe what I saw would know this. It is a purposeful attempt to smear. I'm not complaining, because that's the league that we all play in here, folks. I don't whine or moan about anything, but I am going to correct the record here, because this is something that's now had a lifespan of 2 days, that I'm making fun of Michael J. Fox. I would no more do that than I would make fun of anybody who suffers a disease about which and over which they have no. I wouldn't make fun of anybody with any. That is beneath me, and it's not. There's no evidence and history of it on this program at all, or in my behavior as a human being.
Wow. Wow, this brings denial to a whole new level, JMO.
It does. You know, Rush Limbaugh does a lot of things, but he's not stupid. He knew what he was doing here when he accused Michael J. Fox of exaggerating the symptoms, and he knew what he was doing when he kept talking about this. He knows that things aren't going particularly well for candidates that he likes right now, and that things are going to keep going poorly to the extent that people are thinking about issues like Iraq and healthcare and the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And Rush Limbaugh was doing what he does so well. He was hijacking the public debate, and we've been spending 3, 4, 5 days talking about an actor and a talk radio host, rather than about Iraq or healthcare or the minimum wage. That's exactly what Rush Limbaugh was trying to do, and that's what you've got to assume Karl Rove wanted him to do, because Rush Limbaugh is nothing if not a loyal foot soldier.
Yeah. A couple of factual questions. Number one, what are the legal issues related to Rush Limbaugh's website? Because Media Matters routinely lists clips from the Limbaugh show, and I take it from the audio quality that they come from the website. And likewise with his Ditto Cam or his webcam, I mean, he sat there and produced his own macaca moment, knowing that he was on screen mugging for his loyal fans.
He knew the camera was there. He knows it's there every day, and he chose to do this, and chose to do this knowing that it would be broadcast via his website. He wanted people to see it. The notion that anything happened here other than exactly what Rush Limbaugh wanted is just not true.
But were his rights violated? In other words, is it legal to take these pictures and audio bites off his website?
I can't speak for exactly how people got that from there. I know that when we use audio of Rush Limbaugh, we use selected portions for the purposes of commentary.
Right.
And that's fair use, just so somebody can excerpt a portion of the New York Times if they want to reply to it.
Because, see, my understanding is that this webcast is not a broadcast, and there are restrictions about reusing broadcast material without permission. But, you know, putting his cam on the Internet is not a broadcast. It's not subject to those rules.
No, and I haven't seen him seriously consider legal action of any sort, which probably tells you some of what you want to know about what his options there would be.
Well, Roy Black is busy on the venue shopping charge, so...
Sure, that's true. But again, you know, Rush Limbaugh wanted people to see this, and people saw it, and now...
Now, my other question is, Keith Olbermann made great use of the webcam footage, but is the charge accurate that NBC sped it up?
I couldn't speak to that with any great authority. It's clear that, you know, it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, Rush Limbaugh was mocking Michael J. Fox, and whether you speed it up or slow it down doesn't change the fact that he was doing that. He was imitating somebody who he said was exaggerating his symptoms. And in the process, he was suggesting that Michael J. Fox basically shouldn't show himself in public if he's going to demonstrate symptoms of a disease, which is a pretty outrageous thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that video was sped up or slowed down. I can't see how it would possibly matter. Rush Limbaugh, you know, what he was doing is very clear to anybody who saw that and anybody who listened to what he said. And there's not a lot of doubt about what he was going for there.
All right. In our next segment, we're going to talk about another denial, this one coming from the White House, about whether Dick Cheney was talking about waterboarding when he told a compliant right-wing radio talk show host, oh, a dunk in the water? That's a no-brainer. We'll talk about that next, and also attacks on Nancy Pelosi, possibly the next Speaker of the House of Representatives. If you've got a media comment or question, join us now. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah, Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hello,
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 20 minutes past the hour, and we're doing our weekly briefing with Jameson Fosser at Media Matters for America. Their powerful website is mediamatters.org. They cover what the corporate media does and where they cross the line in one direction or another. And we're joined by Fred from Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Fred. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. I totally agree with everything you're saying. I don't like Rush Limbaugh. He's a lot of terrible, bad things. But I think we're empowering him a little bit by saying that this is some part of a master plan to distract us from the issues. I mean, the guy's not Darth Vader. This isn't the first time he's ever stuck his foot in his mouth. And it won't be the last, but to say that this is like somehow a Karl Rove plan to distract us is going a little bit, giving him more credit than he deserves.
I understand your point, but let's just look at the facts here. This was an unprovoked attack on Michael J. Fox, who is using his constitutionally protected speech to, offer a view in a political campaign.
Absolutely.
And instead of talking about the issues of stem cell research, Rush Limbaugh attacked the messenger.
Absolutely. He's a jerk. He did it because he's a jerk. Let's not give him the credit to say that this is part of some overarching scheme to destroy our message.
Well, how different is this from the Swift Boat approach? That's exactly what they do. They attack you on your strength.
I don't think that it's giving Rush Limbaugh a tremendous amount of credit to say that I think he's trying to distract people from issues that really matter. It doesn't take any great genius to recognize that Iraq and healthcare and the minimum wage and the economy and stem cell research, for that matter, and a whole host of issues that are on people's minds currently play very, very badly for the people that Rush Limbaugh would like to see win. It doesn't take any great cunning strategy to recognize that when 60% of the American people are opposed to an increasingly disastrous war and that you're the party responsible for that, that maybe you want to talk about something else. I understand the urge not to give Limbaugh too much credit, but I don't think it takes a heck of a lot to see that on his part.
I just feel like you're putting ammunition in your gun when you give them so much credit that they're capable of manipulating us psychologically or manipulating the mess so much that they're somehow in control, and they're not. He's a buffoon. And why not just let him be a buffoon?
All right, Fred, I got your point. I think this buckshot has already flown.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, and I'm glad you're listening in Tempe. All right, bye-bye. Next up here, JMO, Nancy Pelosi, who, as I have disclosed before, is someone I support, someone I have worked for in the past. I don't have any business or other relationship with her at this time, but I am hopeful that next Tuesday's election is going to propel her to become Speaker of the House. And when I first read the quotes that we're about to discuss, I thought it was in the Washington Times. But the New York Times wrote a piece about Pelosi using Republican talking points and some of their explicit language.
They did. They said in the course of sort of caricaturing her as an extreme liberal, they said that she favors alternative sentencing over prison construction, schools without prayer, and death with taxes. Now, death with taxes, of course, is very much a Republican talking point, and it's a sort of grotesque oversimplification. In fact, the estate tax repeal that Pelosi and many other members of Congress opposed, the Republican estate tax repeal, they did so because that estate tax didn't actually affect anybody, really. It's about one half of 1% of people are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically a stop to the very wealthiest estates. So the Times, in characterizing that as this broad, you know, desire by Nancy Pelosi to tax people upon death, is repeating some false Republican arguments there. Likewise, Nancy Pelosi has never tried to stamp out any prayer from school. She's opposed mandatory prayer in school, as many people do, as the Constitution does. But the Times presented it as though she doesn't want kids to be able to pray on their own in school, which isn't her position, isn't the position of really any nationally prominent progressive or Democrat.
And I'll point out that she is a very devout Catholic.
Right, right. You know, overall, one of the interesting things about this paragraph is it's sort of the latest in a long line of things that we've seen that kind of falsely suggests that the progressive leadership and Democratic leadership in Congress is out of touch with Americans. It makes much of her getting a good rating from the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League and a poor rating from the National Rifle Association. Well, being pro-choice is the majority of opinion in this country, and being in favor of responsible and reasonable gun control is an overwhelming majority position in this country. You wouldn't know that from reading this Times article, though. It tries to present those two things as an indication that she's kind of off on the fringe.
Yeah, and it was written by the New York Times L.A. bureau chief.
Right.
That's kind of interesting. All right, one other item that I wanted to talk about. Over the past 10 days or so, the White House has been hosting right-wing talk show hosts from various parts of the nation. And a guy from Fargo got the exclue with Dick Cheney and butted him up with happy talk about waterboarding. And he said, my listeners wanted me to ask you about this because we say that if a dunk in the water is going to make Americans safer, it's all right with us. And then he led Cheney into saying that, oh, it's a no-brainer for me. Yeah, a dunk in the water. Well, the next day, a lot of bleep hit the fan, and 2 days later, on Friday, Tony Snow was doing contorted black backflips trying to explain what the vice president did not say. And he wanted us to believe that this was not about waterboarding. And, you know, any intelligent interpretation of his interview with this talk show host would lead you to believe, yeah, they're talking about waterboarding.
Right. This is the media coverage of this has really been pretty bad because they've focused on those process issues, the process issue of Tony Snow trying to deny what Dick Cheney obviously said and the machinations the White House is going through to try to contain the political damage of this, rather than focusing on the fact that the Vice President of the United States endorsed torture, said it was a no-brainer, and that he feels free to do that, and getting into the policy discussions that flow from that and discussing the fact that the Republican Congress gave the president a rubber stamp to define torture however he wants, and you know, it would have been a good time to bring up the fact that when McCain cut his much ballyhooed deal with the White House, Bush just threw a signing statement and said, I'm going to do whatever I want anyway. Rather than discussing any of those things and how Cheney's comments fit into that context, instead we were treated to this multi-day affair where it was just like they were covering a sporting event. You know, here's Tony Snow's backflip today and his denial of Dick Cheney saying what Dick Cheney obviously said, and nowhere was the substance addressed.
Well, and it was a triple Lutz on Tony Snow's part because he was trying to spin the vice president's remarks basically by limiting himself to what the vice president and a spokesperson had told Tony Snow. And I give some reporters credit because there was a heated back and forth in the press room there. And when somebody, I think Snow said, well, the vice president's too careful. He'd never talk about techniques. And by the way, in the next sentence, he says, we don't torture. And one of the reporters pushed back and said, well, gosh, you know, if Dick Cheney's so well controlled, why did he manage to flip off Pat Leahy on the Senate floor and shoot his friend in the face when they were hunting in Texas? So, I give the press a little credit there, and I also give a lot of credit to the American people, because I don't think they'll buy Tony Snow's spin on this.
You're hopeful today, Peter.
Yes, I am.
Good to hear.
All right, JMO, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Jameson Foser from Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org. Coming up next, we'll talk about push polling on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Shall we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show?
Let's do it.
Well, thank you, Tom. Always good to have your blessing. And the ground-pounding sound of the bass-laden, tone-loke, wild thing. I'm Peter B., your humble host here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. And this half hour, I invite your participation, particularly if you have received a political telephone call or voicemail in recent days, because we're going to talk about robocalls, about telephone political solicitations, and the ultimate, the gold standard, which is called the push poll. So I want to open up the phone lines here. If you've received a call, whether it was from somebody you support or somebody you detest, I'd love to hear what kind of a message they used. If they hired a big-name individual, Bill Clinton or Al Gore or somebody else, to make a robocall to you, wherever you live, Arizona, California, Oregon, I'd like to hear from you about the use of telephone pitches in this year's political campaign. And you can call me right now, and we will not interrupt your dinner. We will not call you and try to foist a political message on you. But I welcome your input on this. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. So if you've gotten a political robocall or even a live one, maybe the candidate called and spoke to you personally, I'd like to hear your reaction and also whether these things work, because these telephone calls, particularly the automated ones, have become a mainstay of many political campaigns. And I'd like to know if you've ever changed your vote or decided to vote for somebody or for or against a ballot measure based on a telephone call from a political campaign. My number again is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Daniel Shulman, investigative fellow at Mother Jones Magazine, returns to our program today. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
I got a couple of robocalls Sunday afternoon at my house while I was trying to take a nap.
Did you?
And I didn't pick up the phone, but when I played them back later, I said, gosh, this is a candidate I already support. I wish I could get off that list. What about you? Do you get a lot of political phone calls?
You know what? I haven't yet. We're on the do not call list, so I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Yeah?
I don't know. I haven't received any this election cycle at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what about pollsters? Have pollsters ever called you?
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, so it's strange that you've been getting numbers of these, you know. Are you in a hotly contested district or something like that?
Not especially.
No.
No,
huh.
These were statewide candidates from California who were calling me. So it wasn't really specific to a district or my locality. I am foolish enough to have a listed phone number, and I'm foolish enough to say that on the air. But anyway, they found me, and, you know, I wasn't particularly moved. As I said, I'm already planning to vote for Deborah Bowen for Secretary of State, and I recognize that she doesn't have enough money to run a statewide saturation TV campaign, which
right.
would cost you about $1.5 million a week in California. And so many people with limited budgets do use these robocalls.
Yeah, they're extremely effective, too.
Mm-hmm.
With TV, you can kind of just tune it out, but when you're actually listening to someone on the phone, especially the push polls,
yeah,
those can be really persuasive.
Now, the first time I got a call in Al Gore's voice, I saved it, and I played it for Kathy because Kathy's got a soft spot for Al Gore. The second time he called, I just kind of said, oh, there's Al Gore making a robocall. I wonder how they got him to do that. But it didn't have that much impact. Well, introduce us to Gabriel Joseph III and the unusually named company Free Eats.
Okay, well, well, yeah, Gabe Joseph runs a firm called FreeEats.com. It goes by a number of different names, and if you were to get a survey from them, they might say they're called FEC research or political research or data research or something like that. And they're based out of Virginia. And their chairman is Don Hodel, who's a former Reagan administration official and
yeah.
also president of the Christian Coalition and Focus on the Family. So
he was Secretary of Interior?
And Energy, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, both.
Yeah. A forgettable man, frankly.
Yeah, well, so you can guess it at their politics, and this firm really has gone, from what I can tell, under the radar for a long time, but
mm-hmm.
They're one of the key robo-calling players out there, and they're essentially a push-polling firm, and essentially their surveys masquerade as polls. They'll say, you know, do you want to participate in the survey?
Mm-hmm. Now, let's define for our listeners, many of whom may be hearing this term push poll for the first time. Many people are aware that polling companies use telephone calls and poor schlubs who are trapped in a cubicle in Des Moines. And they call people at dinner time, and they'll ask you your views on candidates, on issues, and they dutifully record the data. And then it gets, worked over by the pollsters, and it shows up in a poll result. But a push poll is not really about collecting the information, is it?
No. I mean, basically, it's a technique. It'll start off sounding like a legitimate poll, and then as the questions go on, it will basically try to disparage a certain candidate, and this was very effective in the 2000 presidential election when it was used against John McCain in South Carolina. Basically, the poll said something along the lines of, "Do you know that John McCain has an illegitimate black child," or something like that.
Yeah.
And it worked because some people took it as fact. And basically, he had won New Hampshire prior to that and lost South Carolina and was out of the race after that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got an audio recording. It's almost 2 minutes long here, so let's play this and listen to it, and then we can comment on it. But this is an actual push-pull telephone call.
Hello?
This is Data Research with a 45-second public survey. Are you registered to vote in Indiana?
What is this?
Please say yes, no, or repeat now.
Repeat now.
This is Data Research with a 45-second public survey. Are you registered to vote in Indiana?
Yes.
Do you intend to vote in the November 7th election?
Yes.
Are you 55 years of age or older?
No.
Do you want your taxes not raised and, if possible, cut?
I don't know.
Do you believe that frivolous and abusive lawsuits cost us all too much money?
Who's this call on behalf of?
Please say yes, no, or repeat now.
Robo doesn't answer the questions that aren't on the list.
On behalf of?
The new Medicare prescription benefit law went into effect in January of this year. Would it surprise you to know that due to this new law, over 78,000 elderly Indianians in your neighborhood can now obtain the drugs that they need, but that they could not afford before?
Who's behind this call?
Please say yes, no, or repeat now.
Who's behind this call?
Barron Hill voted to allow the sale of a broad range of violent and sexually explicit materials to minors. Does knowing this make you less likely to vote for Barron Hill?
Ah.
Who's behind this call?
This is the slimy part of the push poll.
They will end without a yes, no, or repeat response now.
Who's behind this call?
Thank you for your time and views. This survey was conducted by the Economic Freedom Fund. Goodbye.
So his question was answered, finally, at the end, in at least a legally technical way. But the robo voice, of course, can only respond to yes or no, and they have it programmed so that it moves on and keeps sliming if you don't cooperate. It's just fascinating to see the interplay here, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy who answered this phone call clearly seemed to know it was up a little bit and was not playing along, but there are certainly people out there that will go through this poll and answer that question about Barron Hill and say, I didn't realize that he had voted to allow the sale of explicit sexually explicit materials. I won't vote for him.
Well, and the pandering involved here, they ask if you want your taxes lowered.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'd like some crack with that, too. Are you against frivolous lawsuits? Oh, no, I want more of them. Really.
Right.
The more frivolous, the better. We could have Judge Judy take care of the ones that are really frivolous. And then the prescription drug bill, and that's just a plug for the Republican Party claiming that that's their baby.
Right, yeah, then they've used these for a range of different issues. The gay marriage amendments basically saying, that in Massachusetts... they were teaching kindergartners about, gay marriage and stuff like that. Stuff that just really isn't true and is meant to is essentially meant to sway the vote one way or the other.
Yeah. Let's take some calls here and see what kind of robocalls our listeners are getting. First up, Matt in Phoenix. Welcome, Matt. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Good.
I've got about five or six of these babies, all of them anti-Harry Mitchell. Not a single one actually for J.D. Hayworth, all against Harry Mitchell. And the best part about all this is I live in Jeff Flake's district, who's running unopposed, so it's not like I'm even the target audience.
You know, I've had that happen, too, where I don't live in the city of San Francisco. I live in the suburbs, but occasionally at election time, I've gotten calls from campaigns that, you know, you have to reside in San Francisco to vote on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got about five or six of these, and like I said, I mean, I'm in Flake's district. He's not even doesn't even have an opponent, which is garbage in its own right because, you know, I'd like to at least have a choice.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I just moved here from Pennsylvania where Todd Platts was running unopposed for about 4 years in a row where I was living there. So I can't get a choice wherever I live, apparently.
Well, you need to check where you're moving before you decide exactly where you're going to live.
I guess.
Now, tell me this. Has a robocall ever affected your vote in any way?
No, because I actually pay attention to the rest of the world. So, you know, I know what's going on. I don't, some robocall isn't going to change my vote. I already know who's voting for what and all that stuff. And, I mean, if I know, you know, obviously in the case this one was anti-Harry Mitchell, mainly because Hayworth has been involved in the whole Abramoff thing. So they're just trying to slime the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, very
so as long as you know what's going on, I mean, most of them I just hang up as soon as I hear it.
Well, and the interesting thing is on the recorded ones that are actually just voicemail drops, those machines are programmed to hang up if a human answers. But if it rings four times and the machine or voicemail picks up, then it drops the bomb.
Yeah, and it's actually backwards here because I don't find any of them. I don't get any of them on my voicemail. I just get them when I pick them up.
Uh-huh.
And I should know by now who they are because they all come up on the caller ID as like being from Wyoming, and I know nobody in Wyoming. So I should know better by now.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the input. Now, Daniel, a couple of things here. I've noticed that the caller IDs are often masked or misleading, where they will, you know, my voicemail captures the ID and reads it out to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you attempt to call those numbers back, they're not working numbers.
Right, right. There have been reports that this company that I was looking at has even used the names and numbers of legitimate companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I can't confirm that. I did read it in one place. But, yeah, usually when this place calls, it'll... it comes up a lot saying just Braddock, Virginia, which is where one of their, I guess, one of their calling centers is.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the point that Matt and I were talking about, the robocalls that are not push polls, that are looking just to drop a voicemail?
Yeah.
Am I correct on that, that if a human answers, they typically disconnect?
I'm not sure about that, but, that sounds right to me.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I've had quite a few hang-ups recently, and there's no human on the other end or even, you know, the sound of a call. It's just I pick up, and a couple of seconds later, there's a click.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Homeland Security is at your door, Daniel. Why don't you grab that? We're going to take a break and return, and if it's a push pollster, pull him in the door and put him on the phone, okay?
Okay.
That's Daniel Shulman, investigative fellow at Mother Jones Magazine. We're going to take more of your calls after a quick break. So if you've received a robo-political call, turn him in. Call us up, 888-5-PETER-B. And I'd like to know if you've ever been moved to change your vote or choose a candidate or a position on an issue by a political telephone call. 888-573-8372, toll free. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Tom Hartman. Bush's tax cut of $550 billion. Just do the math on this for a minute. If you have $550 billion and you divide that by a million, it's 550,000.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So if you say that you're going to create 1 million jobs with a $550 billion tax cut, you're saying that you're going to give tax cuts to the tune of $550,000 per job. Now, do you think anybody could get elected on a platform as insane as that?
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Only in America can a kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president.
Only in America. Push polling considered a viable political tactic. These are the kind of polls that aren't really designed to get information from you, but to give you information, negative information on a candidate or an issue, hoping to propel you in the direction of the people who funded the call. We're talking with Daniel Shulman. He is an investigative fellow at Mother Jones Magazine, our media partner. And if you go to motherjones.com, you can read his piece. It's a piece that's on the homepage today entitled Tales of a Push Pollster. And Daniel, is push polling legal?
Yeah, it is. In most places, where this company that I wrote about ran into trouble was in Indiana, and it wasn't because of the push polling. It was because they have a law against automated calling, automated dialing.
Uh-huh.
And so basically, that is illegal, I know, in Indiana, and it's also illegal in North Dakota.
But the push polling practice itself is not considered off base?
It's considered, if anything, unseemly and kind of like a dirty political trick, but, you know, just like you can launch attack ads against people, you can do this as well.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Let's go to North Carolina, where Margaret is listening in Asheville. Hello, Margaret. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us. You listening on the web?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for taking the trouble to do that. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's good reception, and you have a lot of people I enjoy listening to. The first thing I want to say about these calls, I probably get 3 to 1 of these political calls, and most of them are recordings. But number one, I want a do not call list for political callers. I want to sign up because you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. They do not change my mind. As a matter of fact, they make me livid.
Well, do you know, Marjorie, I'm sorry, Margaret, do you know who was given the assignment to manage the Do Not Call list in the U.S.?
No.
A little independent company called AT&T.
Oh, geez. That figures. Well, I got rid of Bell South because they gave their information to the NSA and went to the cable offers of 24/7 sort of thing, so I went with them for a while.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have had two calls. You know, that you can answer a phone. They don't give your numbers, just like you said. Some say private caller. Some get, you know, a whole mess of zeros across the, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Non-existent area codes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It costs so much to, like you say, that you can't call them back because there's nothing at the other end.
And I do believe area code 666 is exclusive to the devil.
Well, yeah.
I think that's
who those are right now.
That's the number Hugo Chavez used to determine that it actually was the devil who was speaking at the United Nations.
God bless him. I did get two calls that I found interesting, and they were obviously recordings, but one was Jack Murtha, and one was Christine Brightwater.
Brightweiser. She's one of the Jersey girls.
Yeah, one of the New Jersey girls.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if I pick up the phone and there's a dead spot, that means it is somebody calling that has, you know, that there's no interest in me as a human being.
Right. The sound of silence means that slime is on the way.
Exactly. Yeah, well said. And so I usually just hang up on them because I'm really, as a matter of fact, I mean, we have got a really intense race here between Charles Taylor, who's one of the most crooked, Wall Street Journal called him one of the most crooked politicians in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a young man named Shuler. And as a matter of fact, CNN, it's so hot here, CNN came out here with, what's her name, the female political, the heavyweight, heavy set woman, I can't remember her name.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah, CNN.
Andy.
Yeah.
Andy Crowley.
And there's rumors that, they're going to send some more political big guns, because he's in trouble, and he ought to be. There are so many things about him that are bad, Charles Taylor, that we just don't need him there anymore. So they're worried about this one up here in the mountains. And we have a lot of progressives here. Move On actually even opened an office here. We're up in the mountains. So it's just, but these polls, last year when Elizabeth Dole was running, we were getting day after day after day, and I finally called her office and I said, I want to be taken off your call list. Number one, I'm a Democrat and I don't want to listen to this crap. And they told me they had nothing to do with it and didn't have any influence, and I said, that is BS. So, you know, they don't listen to us, and I think they are an intrusion into my life. I think they are a complete annoyance. They do not change my mind. They make me madder, and they make me go out, and I say even more to people. You know, it's...
Right. So, Margaret, thanks for your call. I want to jump now to Marjorie on the Oregon coast. Hello, Marjorie. Welcome to the Peter B. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I picked up Tony's line. Marjorie, we'll get to you next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Peter.
Welcome.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We've got an interesting situation at our house. I'm a registered Democrat. My wife's a registered Republican, and we've been getting just bombarded from both sides. And like a couple of your previous callers, I hang up generally right away. But two that come to mind that are the most unusual, one was this morning we got a call from Sheriff Joe.
Oh, yeah, he's a great take-no-prisoners kind of guy.
And he was pushing a couple local Congress people. And then the one my wife got yesterday was from George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting. And he was basically just pushing for her to vote Republican.
Or we'll torture.
Exactly. So.
Okay, Tony, thanks a lot. Now we go to Marjorie. Marjorie, sorry for the false alarm. You're on the air now.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, it's my understanding that the no-call list does allow charities and political parties to call as part of the deal, that it's okay. So Daniel should check to make sure that he's still a registered voter. Maybe he's been dropped.
Oh, yeah. Have you been purged, Daniel?
Have I been purged?
Yeah, from the voter rolls. If you're not getting calls, maybe you're not going to get to vote.
That's possible. Who knows? I mean, I know that this firm that I looked at, I mean, they have information on pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
They claim to have 120 million records. I mean, that's basically everybody, every household in the U.S.
They
and then some.
Do they share phone records with the NSA?
They do have some sort of ties to the White House, so I wouldn't, I wouldn't say anything's impossible.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Marjorie, thank you for the call today. Great to have you listening on KBBR in Coos Bay.
Actually, I'm hearing you on Eureka.
Oh, you got a Eureka radio
station.
I'm
the T-shirt, Margie.
Oh, great. I love your T-shirt. Thank you very much.
Did you wear it?
I have, yeah. It's beautiful.
Great.
Thanks for the call today.
Bye.
Daniel, as always, thank you for your work. This is a great story.
My pleasure.
You can read all about it at MotherJones.com. Tales of a Push Pollster. We've been talking with Daniel Shulman. Coming up next, candidate Tony Truppiano here on the Peter...
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The war on trans fat gains more recruits, KFC customers.
They get the same finger-licking good taste served with zero trans fat.
The top general in Iraq wants 100,000 more Iraqis in the fight.
Increasing the number of Iraqi forces will take time. Time may be in short supply.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, really finger-licking good.
Colonel Sanders built an empire on chicken cooked in hydrogenated oil. It's easy to handle and easy to store, but it contains trans fat, which health experts call the worst kind of fat. Today, KFC became the second major fast food chain after Wendy's to eliminate trans fat from much of its menu.
We've already begun the conversion process to our new cooking oil, and we will take up to 6 months by the end of April to have it in all 5,500 restaurants across the United States.
Company President Greg Dedrick, KFC believes this will be good for business, and it might very well be right. WCBS Radio's Mike Zirinax talked to this customer in Hicksville, New York.
I care about the health because I'm kind of fat.
And you're still eating KFC.
I kind of stopped in the middle.
You've been slowing down.
Yeah.
So if they get rid of the trans fats and they go to the healthier oil, you're going to start eating more KFC?
Probably.
KFC's announcement came as New York City's Board of Health opened a hearing on the proposal to ban virtually all trans fat from restaurant meals. Now this.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
101. That's the October U.S. military death toll in Iraq with a day to go. Officials say this latest casualty was a member of a police brigade killed this morning by small arms fire in eastern Baghdad. And it's been a bloody day for Iraqis. At least 81 people killed, including 33 who died when a bomb went off in Sadr City at a site where day laborers gather hoping to find work. In the midst of all this, CBS News correspondent David Martin has this exclusive.
CBS News has learned General George Casey, the U.S. commander in Iraq, is expected to recommend the size of Iraqi security forces be increased by up to 100,000.
That would require more American soldiers to train and advise the Iraqis. Vice President Dick Cheney, interviewed today by Fox News, said the terrorists and Iraqi insurgents have stepped up their attacks to influence American public opinion.
It's my belief that they're very sensitive to the fact that we've got an election scheduled. And, you know, they can get on the websites like anybody else. There isn't anything that's on the Internet that's not accessible to them.
He says they're using the Internet to monitor the campaign. It's 8 days till the vote, and the midterm campaign is heating up. Many Republican candidates have been distancing themselves from President Bush, but there are places where he's welcome and wanted, and one of them is Sugarland, Texas. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer joins us live.
In a clear sign of concerns about the Election Day stakes, President Bush has traveled more than halfway across the country here to his home state to campaign at this rally for a write-in Republican candidate in a longtime GOP stronghold. He even explained the procedure for voters to write in the name of Shelley Sekula Gibbs. She hopes to succeed former House Republican Power Tom DeLay, who resigned after he was indicted on campaign finance charges. Polls indicate Democrat Nick Lampson is ahead here in one of the races that could decide control of Congress. The president calls it a sprint to the finish line. Live in Sugar Land, Texas, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Shelley Sekula Gibbs told reporters, like my husband says, I'm a little more trouble, but I'm worth it. Every district matters equally, says Larry Sabato, director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia.
The best estimates today are that Democrats probably are gaining at least 20 seats in the House. They could gain a lot more than that. In the Senate, they seem to be gaining at least 4 seats. They could gain more than that. They need 6 to take over.
California Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter announced today that he's taking the first step toward a presidential bid. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call You and Us. Member SIPC.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Collins. I'm glad you've joined us today. And we have two great American progressive talk show hosts who are going to join us on the show. Coming up later in the next hour, Mike Malloy is going to talk with us as he prepares to debut on the new Nova M radio network. He's launching tonight in Phoenix and Little Rock with a whole lot ahead of him. And also from the days of the IE America Radio Network, which is where I connected with people like Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman and Peter Werby and Tony Truppiano. Tony joins us from the 11th District of Michigan today, where he is the Democratic nominee, and we're predicting victory next Tuesday, just 8 days away. Tony, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm excited and I'm energized, and I'm happy for Mike Malloy.
Well, that's great. And I just got a note that it's not going to work today. He's going to come on tomorrow with us. So that, for our listeners, sorry if I misled you, but we'll get Mike on the program tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. Tony, tell me, has your service as a talk show host in the past prepared you in any way for this run for Congress?
Well, Peter, that's a great question. You know, nobody's ever asked me that question. Here I've been doing this 14 months, and no one's ever asked me that question. Yeah, I mean, it's helped me in ways that I thought it would serve not only me but my potential constituency as well. I you know, obviously I can articulate issues, but I think what it really did for me, Peter, as you know, I mean, we become very good researchers. And, you know, when it comes to the issues, I mean, I know how to get to the information. More importantly, I know how to speak truth to power. And, you know, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate for those of us that are fighting the good fight here, you know, there's a lot of important stuff going on that, you know, I have a good grasp on. Yeah, it's served me in a lot of ways. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, one of the things that we learn as talk show hosts is that there's a whole range of public opinion out there. And often, you know, many media organs just tend to compress it. And as a talk show host, you know that even people, for example, who oppose NAFTA have five different reasons for opposing NAFTA.
Well, you know, and one of the challenges, of course, in a lot of the forums that I speak at and a lot of the meetings that I go to, unlike a radio show where, you know, you've got 12 minutes to set something up or begin a discussion and invite interaction, as a candidate, those options aren't available to you. And so you need to get very good at sound bites. You need to get very good at capitalizing what you feel, what you're passionate about. And not unlike what we do on the radio, Peter. We just don't have as much time to then flesh it out after that. You do get, especially when you're done, and you've got the luxury of waiting around at a meeting afterwards, a lot of people will come up to you, and then that's when they start to compartmentalize. You know, they'll say, well, I was against this, but, you know, my reasoning is this, and then somebody else will have a different reason. So you're right. I mean, that certainly does happen, and you don't always get the chance to explain yourself, unfortunately.
Yeah. Tony, we have some new listeners in Phoenix who probably didn't hear you the last time you were on, and also in Coos Bay, Oregon. Give us a quick description of the district. You're in suburban Detroit. It includes part of Northville and Plymouth, where I've got some relatives, and I've been working the phones. I'm going to deliver some votes for you.
All right. I appreciate that.
Tell us about the type of district you're in, how many people are unemployed, and the general economic condition there in Detroit.
Absolutely. The 11th Congressional District in Michigan is just outside the city of Detroit. It actually looks like a big comma, and it's what's called a swing district. For those that don't know what that is, it's basically 50% Democrat, 50% Republican. It's, you know, the district tends to lean a little more conservative, even for, you know, even the Democrats that are here. Obviously, Peter, as you're well aware, the economy here in Southeast Michigan has been devastated by the free trade agreement, speaking of NAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've not had a very friendly business climate here. We've seen a lot of jobs go south or just disappear. And so the unemployment rate in my district is quite high. The foreclosure rate in my district is quite high. The bankruptcy rate in my district is quite high. And, you know, part of what compounds that problem is that we have a congressman here who just doesn't bring any money back home, and he's doing nothing to try to help stimulate the economy, or more importantly, protect automotive jobs, which is a big part of our, obviously, of our employment mix here.
Mm-hmm.
And those jobs, unfortunately, have gone away. And, Peter, as much as I'm an optimist, you and I are both realists, and a lot of these jobs are never going to come back. So we need to start attracting new industry here. And I think that, more importantly, we need to start giving more opportunity to our young people to get to college, to build the kind of educational foundation that will give them the skills to do some of the higher-tech jobs that are out there. I'm very concerned about our future.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us how it's going against Thaddeus McCotter. He's a three-term Republican, am I correct?
Two-term.
Mm-hmm.
Two-terms. Things are going well. The polls show that we're in a statistical dead heat.
All right.
You know, I'm very happy to say the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen major movement on the ground. Now, as you know, the last time we talked, we've got a huge volunteer operation with this campaign. As a matter of fact, I am sitting in my car out in the parking lot of my campaign office because there's not a phone to be found in the office. Everybody's on the phone.
Well,
so I'm sitting out in my car on my cell phone doing this interview. Things are just getting better. We had our one and only debate about 3 weeks ago. And I couldn't have written it better myself. Things went extremely well. And like a lot of hothead Republicans, he had a meltdown in his closing statement and made a fool of himself. You know, and again, I couldn't have written it better if I'd wanted to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, one of the issues that has challenged you is the progressive community in this country talks a lot, but they don't really walk the walk. And in particular, when people like you get into combat right there in the trenches, you expect people to have your back and be there to support you. Has the support from progressives started to gel, started to come through for you?
Well, in fact, the last week, but more specifically, the last 3 days has just been absolutely astounding in a very positive way. The progressive community, the blogosphere, all of a sudden woke up and realized that there was a real progressive candidate that had a shot at taking a seat away from a neocon. And I'm very grateful, and I'm not going to say that, you know, I hope it's not too little too late. I don't believe that. I believe this happened at the right time. There's been a nice financial push. You know, the contributions of the campaign are way up. We are, you know, it's allowed us to do things we thought we'd never be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they are. They're. You know, it started last week, and the wonderful thing about campaigns, Peter, as you know, is that you can, I mean, up to the last minute you can legally campaign, there's always something you can do to get one more vote.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to ask people to go to your website. It's Tony4Congress2006.com. Tony4Congress2006.com. And right there on the homepage is an opportunity for you to contribute. And if cash isn't your way, you can be making phone calls. There are a lot of things you could do from wherever you happen to be, even if you're not located in the great state of Michigan. So visit that website, Tony4Congress2006.com. Joining us now is Alice from Humboldt. Hello, Alice. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Peter and Tony. So happy to hear you, both of you.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Alice. How's it going today?
They're going to try to rig your election, Tony.
You know so what, confused. Alice? I choose to believe
they
that...
can manually this... recount all the ballots.
Well, and we'll make sure that they do that, Ellis. Let's just at this point, I don't believe that they're going to be able to take this seat away from me, Ellis. So let's just keep positive thoughts.
Don't give in to them.
Okay.
Fighter.
Alice, you're a fighter. Thanks for that message. I appreciate it. I think one of the things, Tony, that many people are concerned about is too many Democrats have conceded on election night before all the votes are counted. And I think her message to you is don't, concede if it appears that the count is running against you because absentees might not have been counted, provisionals might not have been counted, and we had a sorry episode here in San Diego in the special election to replace Duke Cunningham where the Democrat conceded way too early.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm still upset the way that came down. I, of course, watched that with great interest. You know, of course, and I've made this statement publicly, and I'll make it again, there is no concession. Every vote needs to be counted. And, you know, I wouldn't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican. I want to make sure our votes are counted. I'm committed to making sure all the votes are counted. The only way that we will ever trust, and listen, I'm nervous as hell, Peter. We've got more new touchscreen and electronic machines in the state of Michigan this year, as many states do. And everybody's very nervous about it. But we need to be, folks, listen to me loud and clear. My energy right now needs to be on the next 7 days. It can't be on that eighth day. On that eighth day, trust me, we've got a contingency plan.
All right.
But right now, I just need to touch as many voters as possible.
Got it. And if you'd like to touch Tony Truppiano, he's with us for another segment. Grab a line right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Ask him about the issues in the race. Ask him what he'll do in the first 100 hours when he's a member of Congress. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll free number. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah.
He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. Got a big problem working in Salinas right now. Northbound 101 before Veranda. It is an injury crash. The left lane shut down. Now, what happened? A person was apparently hit by a vehicle after trying to retrieve a couch they had dropped in the roadway. Now, as a report, it looks like they landed a medical helicopter to the scene. That helicopter is taken out. We're talking about major injuries, and traffic is reportedly at a standstill at Laurel. Northbound 101 at Leavesley Road, we have a crash there. Apparently a car went off the roadway, and looks like possible injuries reported as well. Northbound 101 at First Street in King City, we have a problem there. A white van near the off-ramp there. It looks like it hit it. Injuries reported. In fact, they're saying this is a solo rollover crash. Fire department and a medical emergency crews on scene. Centrum Silver Multiple Vitamins is age-adjusted. It helps you protect the health as you age.
Tomorrow.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans.
Don't let them continue one party rule. I'm Peter B. here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking to Democratic challenger Tony Truppiano. He's running in the 11th District of Michigan against Thaddeus McCotter. They are neck and neck. This is an achievable seat for the Democrats. And, Tony, let me ask you about a couple of hot-button issues we've been talking about on the program. Nancy Pelosi has said impeachment is off the table.
And I understand there are many practical issues that mitigate against the desire of many people to, you know, hold Bush and Cheney accountable through an impeachment process. That said, I don't think it should be off the table. I can understand that for the purposes of the campaign, it could cut two ways, and so you don't want to highlight it. On the other hand, I just think fundamentally accountability is an important role that the new Democratic Congress should play.
Well, and Peter, you know I was the first endorsed candidate of ImpeachPack. There's a good reason for that. I believe that it is an option, and I do believe it should be on the table, as all of the issues should be, or all of the tools should be at our disposal once the Democrats take control. But you're right. This is about accountability. There is going to be a process. John Conyers has committed as chair of the judiciary to begin oversight investigation immediately. But we need to be careful that we don't get so mired up in the crimes of this president and vice president that we don't move the country forward. I'm not saying that I don't agree that we need to start investigations immediately, because we do. I'm not saying that I would never take impeachment or anything else off the table. You know, how can Nancy Pelosi, without knowing what happened, systematically just say, yeah, we're not going to even consider that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's foolish. I think it's a campaigning tactic. And you know, Madam Leader, if you're listening, you really should have kept your mouth shut on that one.
Well said, Tony. Next item is, I am deeply troubled by what's called the Military Commissions Act, and on our program, in the spirit of Bush bill names, we call it the Joseph Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. And Tony, I hope that you would be among those leading the way to revise this language that takes America down several notches toward barbarism.
Well, I think you're going to find that that's probably going to be the first piece of legislation that the House rescinds. I think that I'm not joking. I think it's going to be one of, if not the very first, one of the first 10. It'll happen. I mean, you know, listen, we should all be outraged by this. And, you know, shame on John McCain. Shame on him, Peter.
I agree. And he thought he made a deal. And he should know, after his experience as recently as last year, that any deal on principle with this administration, particularly related to torture policy, will not hold. They cannot be trusted, and the comments of the vice president last week about waterboarding are just another example of that.
Yeah, and that's not the kind of America that I believe in. You know, I wrote somebody the other day, and I said, you know, what I'm really trying to do is recapture the soul of my beautiful country. She doesn't look anything like it did when I grew up. She doesn't look anything like it did when I went to college. As a matter of fact, this country doesn't look anything like it did 5 years ago.
Yeah, very well put. Susan in Santa Cruz, join us. You're on the air with Tony Truppiano.
Yeah, hi, Tony and Peter. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, Tony, I'm really proud of you, because I remember when it was just like a germ of an idea that you would run. And here we are,
Susan, 8 days away.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm just so glad for you. And you're starting to sound more like a congressman than a candidate, and that's wonderful. And I agree about Nancy Pelosi. Well, it's not that she shouldn't have said anything, and she could have said that it wasn't an issue. But when she said she pledged, that's the little nick in it all that changed it for me, and that's... I feel that it has to be kind of more of a criminal investigation myself.
Well, I want to get to the facts. I want to know the truth. And to me, if we know the truth, we're going to know who's responsible for the misdeeds. And
right.
That would lead to various types of accountability. And like we said, I wouldn't take impeachment out of that menu of options. Thank you, Susan. Now to Kip in Michigan. Hello, Kip. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing today, folks?
Great.
Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I live about 1 mile from his district in the safe Democratic district of John Dingell, and we're all rooting for you here, Tony.
Thank you, Kip.
Well, why don't you put some lawn signs out for Truppiano? Dingell's probably pretty safe.
Actually, I have been doing that. So.
Well, thank you, Kip. I appreciate that.
Yep. And I'll also bring another contribution up for Tony as well tomorrow. So we want to get McOtter out of office here.
All right. Thank you very much, Kip. Great to hear from you. Next up, Deborah in Phoenix. You're on with Tony Trupiano.
Hi. Back to the question about impeachment. I'd like some information.
All right.
I assume the first step would be to gather all the information.
Correct.
Now, do the Democrats have a lot of that information now? How much time
there are two Conyers.
Congress have to spend in
Deborah,
gathering the information?
Deborah, I'm just really tight for time, so I don't mean to jump over your voice there. There are two reports that Conyers has published. One just came out last week, and they are the baseline documentation that could lead to an investigation that also could include impeachment. Thanks a lot for that call. Tony, just 10 seconds remaining. A final comment.
I just want to tell everybody that America, she's about to come back. We're about to rule. It is about Peter, we the people.
Tony, the number 4, Congress2006.com. Thank you, Tony Trupiano. We'll see you in Congress.
Thank you, my friend.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's your own darn fault. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Many of you say you are fed up with those over-the-top TV attack ads. Make the politicians stop it, you say. To which I say, what are you talking about? For example, that famous ad called The Stakes, which shows the words of Osama bin Laden superimposed over scary pictures and ominous music. I've seen it several times, but that ad was very deliberately not run on broadcast TV. Yes, it got on the internet somehow, but if you saw it, it was your own darn fault. It wasn't the politicians exposing you to negative advertising. You were exposing yourself, which you ought to be ashamed of. That ad slamming Tennessee Senate candidate Harold Ford, which shows the white woman inviting him to call her. I've seen that one at least 3 times. I don't even live in Tennessee. In fact, it turns out even the people who paid for it, the Republican National Committee, are not to blame. Republican Chairman Ken Mellman told Face the Nation Sunday that even though his committee paid for that ad, it is illegal for him to pull it. Once it's paid for, it has a life of its own, apparently. These ads are spontaneous, like video stem cells that clone themselves. Like the internet ad showing Madeleine Albright changing a tire for a terrorist, and the one showing IRS agents grabbing tax money from a woman in the delivery room.
They would never stop.
You see, everybody has deplored that ad right after downloading it and watching it thousands of times. So quit blaming the politicians for these ads, because they and the media have been deploring them at every opportunity.
They would never stop.
See, that's deplorable.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. The Salinas Police Officers Association endorses Dennis's vision. They say Dennis is the leader we trust to help us do our job, making Salinas safe for all of our families. The Salinas Californian endorses Dennis's vision. They say Dennis Donahue is a potent blend of intelligence and passion, and that he's someone an ethnically diverse city can trust and rally around. The Monterey County Weekly endorses Dennis Donahue. They say Donahue is rock solid on economic development and safety. Dennis is also endorsed by six former mayors of Salinas, the Monterey County Business Political Action Committee, Nancy Katowski, retired Judge John Phillips, Pastor Frank Gomez, Gloria De La Rosa, and leaders throughout our community. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
Live from the left coast, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up next hour, we throw open the phone lines and see what you're thinking. It's the free speech zone. But before we get there, some hopeful thinking about the future of American politics. Can Democrats win without the Southern strategy?
Well, the train to grind a switch is running right on time, and the Tucker boys are cooking down in Carolina. People down in Florida can't be still when old Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So gather round, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. Forever, cause the South gon' do it again.
Oh, yeah. Next Tuesday, the South's going to do it again. It depends on what the antecedent of it is. There's a powerful new book that puts hope in the hearts of Democrats and progressives everywhere. It's called Whistling Past Dixie, subtitled How Democrats Can Win Without the South. Its author joins us this half hour, Thomas F. Schaller, Associate Professor of Political Science, the University of Maryland. He co-authored Devolution and Black State Legislators, and he's a columnist for the Washington Examiner. Welcome to our program, Professor.
Hey, Peter, call me Tom, please. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I read your book, and little goosebumps popped up because I'm old enough to remember when Richard Nixon articulated his Southern strategy and used it rather effectively. And with a couple of exceptions, the Democrats have been getting hosed.
In the South, they sure have.
I know that's a technical political term.
Yeah, well, I mean, the pattern has been very clear. It started at the presidential level, as you stated. Actually, Goldwater carried four deep South states along with Arizona in 64. Nixon proved that you could use the Southern strategy to win the White House. Strangely, Nixon in 1960 was still trying to court the black vote. Prominently featured Jackie Robinson on the campaign trail.
Sure.
As he campaigned, and Nixon got 32%, a third of the black vote in 1960, something inconceivable today for a Republican. And then Reagan showed that it could be done and even expanded in 1980. They won the Senate as well that year. And now the Republicans basically own the South. They've won 83% of the electoral votes cast there in the last nine elections combined. They have 18 out of 22 senators. They have about 63% of the House members. And for the first time in American history, they actually have parity at the state legislative level, controlling five chambers. The Democrats control five. Tennessee is split, and the Republicans actually have a slight edge in total number of Republican state legislators in the South. So it's locked down and getting more locked down with each two-year cycle.
Allow me to lift some of your words. In the book, you write, that said, Democrats should forget about recapturing the South in the near term and begin building a national majority that ends, not begins, with restoring their lost Southern glory. Most of the South is already beyond the Democrats' reach, and much of the rest continues to move steadily into the Republican column. White Southerners used to be among the most economically liberal voters in America, but now are among the most conservative. The South is America's most militaristic and least unionized region. All the states, I will add parenthetically, are called right-to-work states, or the right to work for less, as my union buddies like to say. You go on, the powerful combination of race and religion create a socially conservative, electorally hostile environment for most statewide Democratic candidates and almost all Democratic presidential nominees.
Well, I mean, that's, nicely put, I guess. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this is the most religiously conservative region. It is the most socially, culturally conservative region. It is the least unionized region. It's also the region with the least swing voters or voters who are inclined to vote for insurgent or third-party candidates, as we saw in both the Perot 92 effort and the Nader 2000 effort, where 9 of their 10 worst states were in the South. It's a place where people make firm commitments that That used to be the old Democrats and Dixiecrats, and now they make firm commitments to Republicans. And so there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of movement down there for Democrats to make progress. And in fact, in 2004, as you may recall, the Republicans picked up only three House seats nationwide, but they picked up five in Texas because of the redistricting, which means Democrats won the House races in an election. They lost the presidency in the other 39 non-Southern states. And likewise in the Senate, where five Southern Democrats retired, all in the same cycle, Fritz Hollings, John Edwards, and others, that Republicans only picked up four seats nationally in the Senate, but they picked up five in the South, which means, yet again, they lost the non-Southern elections, the Republicans, because Barack Obama and Ken Salazar, two rising stars, won in Colorado and Illinois, and they lost the Daschle seat. So the Democrats actually picked up one House seat and two House seats and one Senate seat outside the South in an election they lost. And more to the point, they actually picked up 90 state legislative seats outside the South while losing 30 in the South, and won the state legislative elections nationally in part because of their strength outside the South. So this bifurcation between increasing Democratic success outside the South and increasing failure inside the South is as clear as a bell.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tom Schaller, is this all a payback for desegregation?
I think in large part it is. One of the most fascinating things, and frankly sad things I discovered, Peter, and this is just out of the 2004 election results, which the University of Michigan has been doing the National Election Survey since 1948, every 4 years, and one of the things they found that I almost fell out of my chair is that among white Southerners, national defense attitudes do not predict their partisan votes in presidential elections. Attitudes on abortion do not predict their voting in presidential elections, but attitudes on race still do. And there is a direct and strong correlation between negative attitudes or stereotypes on race and Republican voting. In fact, one scholar who studied this said the reason we see very little racial coding messages, which we did see this year so far in that Ford race, the reason we don't see that kind of racially coded message like we saw with Jesse Helms back in the 80s and all this other stuff is because to say Republican is a proxy for the party that stands against affirmative action and other sorts of things. And so you don't need to wink and nod anymore. You just say, I'm the Republican candidate for fill in the blank, and mm-hmm. that tells the voter where you are on race.
And what about religion? This is a little bit touchy, but, oh gosh, I'm not afraid. I had a very interesting encounter with the late senator from Indiana, Vance Hartke, mm-hmm. in 2002. And he was willing to be blunt about an issue that a lot of people don't talk about. He said, you know, the problem was Lieberman. He said, in Indiana and in the South, people are not prepared to vote for a man with a Jewish surname. And we don't hear much about that in this country, or at least in the media. But do you think that is a subtext as well? Is there anti-Semitic or at least a fear of Jews in the South?
There might be somewhat. There's very few Jews in the South, and so it might be a situation where Southerners are just unfamiliar with Jewish Americans and Jewish politicians. I don't know if it's true that Lieberman cost the Democrats votes in the South. What's strange, and of course he might have helped them with Jewish voters in Florida, and I treat Florida a little separately in the book, as you know, because it's an exceptional state precisely because it has the least native Southerners. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's fascinating about Southerners is that the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the strongest and most important, powerful a religious group in the South, they voted against Al Gore, who is and was the only Southern Baptist candidate in 2000. They voted against him 88-12 for George W. Bush. So, you know, they're willing to vote outside their religious base and if that person's a Democrat. So I think it's more that Lieberman was a Democrat than a Jew.
Mm-hmm. When you go back to 2000, another thing that Hartke complained about, he said that he had struck a deal with Al Gore, that Gore would talk to him before he chose his vice presidential candidate.
Is that right?
And Hartke's man was Bob Graham.
Bob Graham was my man, you know, and if Al Gore had picked Bob Graham, there would have never been a Bush presidency because there would have never been any of this butterfly ballot stuff. I mean, Gore wouldn't have necessarily won Florida by 5-10 points, but he certainly would have won it by 1 or 2 points, and that would have been the end of it. And it's so funny that he says that. I agree with him completely. I think Graham would have been a great pick for the strategic purposes of having that Florida vote in 2000. Absolutely.
I also think he would have been a strong pick in 2004, and I have to add, said that, you know, Bob Graham is not my favorite guy, but he was very credible on national security issues, and in particular, the phony intelligence related to the war in Iraq. And he was out front on that, you know, to the extent he could as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And I believe the two issues, one, that he would have been against the war, but to Bush's right in many respects, and that he could have carried Florida.
Well, you know, the funny thing, I agree with you, Peter, and the funny thing is people, before they've read the book or parts of my argument that I've written online and so forth, they say, well, so this means you can't have Southerners run on the ticket with a non-Southern strategy, which is basically I'm advocating for a non-Southern strategy in the book, as you know. And actually, I say no. The irony of it is that it works not just well, but it may work perfectly with two Southerners, as Clinton and Gore proved. Clinton and Gore got 270 non-Southern electoral votes. Now, they carried some Southern states. They carried Tennessee and Arkansas and Louisiana, both times, and they carried Florida in 96 and Georgia in 92. But the fact of the matter is Bill Clinton is the first non-Southern Southern Democratic president in terms of what electoral coalition elected him to office. When Jimmy Carter ran in 76, he did 9.5 points better in the South than the non-South versus Ford, whereas Clinton in 92, just 16 years and four elections later, did 9.5 points better in the non-South. I almost fell out of my chair when I saw that statistic. It was exactly the reverse. And the reason is, yes, maybe they could pull off an Arkansas or a Tennessee, Peter, but they can more to the point carry West Virginia, Missouri, the Ohio, the border states that will really matter and that don't have as many socially and religiously conservative voters and are closer in play, and you can tip a few votes there to win them.
Should we make sure that you're in a padded chair with arms and maybe even a strap? Because I wouldn't want you falling out.
Yeah, well, you know, I almost fall out of my chair probably more than I should, so fair enough.
We're talking with author Tom Schaller, the book Whistling Past Dixie, How Democrats Can Win Without the South. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now. 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. And you might think, gosh, this is just wishful thinking. But Tom Schaller has backed up his arguments with a lot of detailed information about America's electoral history, the patterns that have emerged over the last electoral cycles. And now let me put you on the spot. What's going to happen next Tuesday in the South, Tom Schaller? Will we have any surprises?
I think we will have a few wins there. I think Heath Jeweler will win in western North Carolina. I think we'll have a very good shot as Democrats to pick up Texas 22, which was opened up by delays, deposing, and obviously the Florida 16 seat that disgraced child predator Mark Foley had to abandon. So the Democrats might pick up three or four House seats, and they might win either and potentially even both of the Virginia and Tennessee Senate seats. And it looks like for sure Mike Beebe is going to win the Arkansas governor's race. But that'll be a total of six or seven seats in House, Senate, and governors combined. Meanwhile, look what's happening outside the South. The Democrats are almost sure to win Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Ohio in the Senate. They're leading in Montana.
Just a sec.
And Claire McCaskill is leading in Missouri.
You think Chafee will lose in Rhode Island? I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, I think most Democrats now have Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Ohio as the three most likely pickups for Democrats, with sort of tier two being Montana and John Tester and Claire McCaskill, Missouri, and then tier three being the Webb and Ford races. That's the Senate. The governor, the Democrats, for the first time since 94, are absolutely going to have a majority of governors after this election. They're going to win for sure New York and Ohio. They're ahead by wide margins, and an increasing wide margin in Massachusetts. I think Mayor O'Malley here in Baltimore, where I teach, is going to win. That's going to make it four. Bill Ritter's winning comfortably in Colorado by 13, 15 points. That's five. Democrats are even competing now, apparently, in the Idaho governor's race. And Dina Titus in Nevada is been blessed with the windfall of two scandals that have affected Jim Gibbons in Nevada in just the last 2 weeks. So the Democrats are going to pick up five or six non-Southern states and Arkansas, and so they're going to make a net gain of somewhere between five and seven governor seats in one cycle. And then the House, the pattern is extraordinarily clear. Three-quarters of the competitive seats where Republicans are in jeopardy are in what I call the 4D rectangle between Dover, New Hampshire, Dover, Delaware, Des Moines, Iowa, and Duluth, Minnesota, and the states in between. The Northeast Midwest quadrant, which is chock full of Rust Belt Ford and Rockefeller Republicans who voted with this president in this war, and they're going to be paying for that on Tuesday.
We got to take a break, and we'll continue with Tom Schaller in just a moment. His book is Whistling Past Dixie, How Democrats Can Win Without the South. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. As we continue, we'll talk about the fertile areas of opportunity for Democrats and how the small states and their Senate seats well, have made it easy for the Republicans to gain one-party rule. That's all coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Lots of activity. Let's start off with the latest. So we're going to tell you about Salinas. Northbound 101 just before Baranda. Left lane is blocked there. However, it's just the CHP is apparently trying to open it up as we speak. This is following a crash with major injuries. A vehicle hit a person who was apparently trying to retrieve a couch, and they did land a medical helicopter on scene. To expect delays. Gilroy, northbound 101 after 152 Pacheco Pass. An accident reported there. No further details. Also want to mention northbound 101 at South Sanborn. We have a crash there. The left lane is blocked at this point. 3 vehicles involved in this one. Santa Cruz, Park Avenue at 236. We have a vehicle into a yard. And hurry into Sleep Train and save big as the top brands and mattresses battle it out to see who can save you the best savings. Plus, sleep free for a year on approved credit. I'm Mike with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
Republican scandals, the gift that keeps on giving. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, this one just in from Las Vegas. Videotapes from cameras in the parking garage where Congressman Jim Gibbons is alleged to have tried to sexually assault a cocktail waitress are now in the hands of Las Vegas police. And he is running for Nevada governor against Democrat Dina Titus. We're talking with Tom Schaller. His new book is called Whistling Past Dixie, How Democrats Can Win Without the South. Was that scandal on your radar, Tom? That's news to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. Dina Titus, I think a couple months ago, was 10, 15 points down. Nobody really gave her any shot of winning this governor's race in Nevada. And suddenly there are 2 scandals. There's one, the claim of this cocktail waitress, and apparently cocktail waitress is a euphemism for a club that was either some sort of strip or dance club. I'm not sure of all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Claim that she was assaulted by the candidate for governor, Jim Gibbons, in the parking lot. He says he doesn't deny that he was there or that he met her or that he even had physical contact with her. He said she was falling down and he was helping her get up. And she said, aren't there cameras in the parking lot and can we get them? And why doesn't the police have them? And so the question was, is there videotape and what does it show? And I hadn't heard this report until you just announced it, but apparently there is videotape, and I guess the question remains to be seen, what does it show?
Well, we should send that to Rush Limbaugh for examination.
Yes, because he's obviously holding the moral high ground in the country, and so he'll be able to give us a semi-drug-induced analysis of what exactly went on in that parking lot. And I'm sure, no matter what it shows, it'll be the woman's fault, whatever happened.
You bet.
By the way, the second scandal, just real briefly, is Jim Gibbons has been an ardent opponent of immigration, and it turns out he had an undocumented worker living in his house who at one point he physically hid from people who were visiting his house to try to hide and avoid paying taxes for payroll taxes.
Yep, it's all about values, all about values.
Now, so she may pull this out in the end if these two scandals turn out to be as big as some people think they are. And by the way, just as a side point, the Democrats didn't have a single Democratic governor in any of the interior eight West states in January of 2001 after the 2000 cycle.
Mm-hmm.
They already have four. We know Bill Ritter, unless he collapses, is going to make it five. And if Dina Titus pulls this out, they could go from zero to six governors out of eight in just 6 years.
And it looks like we're going to reelect the Gruppenführer, so we won't be able to contribute to that from here in California.
So sorry to hear that, by the way. Hang in there.
I got a couple of callers, but I want to give you an opportunity here to outline briefly Chapter 6, the non-Southern platform. Tell us what you think we need to do to expand Democratic power bases, to pick up more of the small states so we get their two Senate seats. That's how you take back the Senate. That's how you also build electoral votes in some respects. And does it mean that we have to dilute the progressive elements of the Democratic message and, in particular, embrace the Second Amendment?
I do make a call for embracing the Second Amendment because I think, first of all, I'm an ACLU card-carrying member. I don't keep a gun in my house, and I respect people who agree with me and just personally make that choice. On the other hand, my view on this is if you're a First Amendment absolutist and if you're a Bill of Rights absolutist, that means you have to support all 10 amendments, not just the 9 you would like and without the Second Amendment. If you pass a petition around and say, I would like to clarify that preceding clause of the Second Amendment, I'd probably sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Democrats, when they take the Second Amendment off the table, what they can do, and this is what Brian Schweitzer did in Montana, and this is what Paul Hackett did in Ohio in that special election, what you do is you take the other 9 amendments, including the 1st and the 4th and the 5th that are important to many progressives and liberals like myself, and you put it behind the ramparts, behind the protection of the Second Amendment, sort of wrap them up all of a piece, if you will, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, and you say, look, to people who feel strongly about their guns and they don't want the government meddling in your guns, that's the same way my wife and I feel about talking to our doctor about reproductive choice. That's the same way I feel about the government not tapping my phones in the war on terror. And if you can get people to see that their other Bill of Rights and Bill of Liberties that are important to them are similar to yours and they're all related, I think you can begin to persuade people on some of the other civil liberties and civil rights issues that they don't see as clearly as you and I may about how they're all connected.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Let's go to Carolyn in Tempe. Carolyn, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show and say hello to Tom Schaller.
Yeah, hi, both of you. Tom, it's delightful to hear you on here because I was just reading Paul Waldman's book, and he highly recommends your book, Whistling Past Dixie. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm very encouraged to hear people talking some sense and quit trying to appease white supremacists or whatever to get elected, that sort of thing. And I just had a question. Is there any indication that the political consultants in Washington, D.C., who have been giving our Democratic politicians such rotten advice for a number of years.
Oh, go ahead and say shrum.
Okay, thanks. I was afraid I would get...
It's a four-letter word.
get the name wrong.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, is there any indication that these people are listening to what you have to say and wising up?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm very good friends with Paul Waldman, of course, and he and I started the Gadflyer, gadflyer.com, together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're mutual friends and fans of each other's work, and his book is great.
And Paul is at Media Matters, and he joins us every other Monday on this program.
Yeah, I know, and speaks highly of your show. And, in fact, I know Jamo Fosier, who I believe was either already on or will be on after me, apparently.
Yeah, Jamo was on earlier, yeah.
Yeah, so we're sort of like a merry band of thieves here in Washington, and I won't tell you everything we're up to, but let me just suffice to say it's all good. On your point, I mean, yes, there are a lot of Democrats who are privately, including public officials, who have said to me, you know what, I'm glad you said it, or yes, you're right, I can't say it publicly. You know, when people say to me, this is a good strategy, but let's not announce it, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think you necessarily want to go ahead and say, hey, we're not going to try in the South, or hey, let's abandon the South. I very specifically say in the last chapter, I think Democrats should position themselves against conservative Southerners, and the reason I think they should do that is because the Republicans have made a lot of hay and a lot of progress by targeting and vilifying and objectifying Northeastern liberals. They don't say Northeasterners, they say Northeastern liberals, mm-hmm. and they have been very successful at doing that. And what I say to Democrats is the same people in Washington who say Democrats don't have a spine, they don't have a backbone, they don't stand for anything, they don't stand against anything, they'll say whatever it is to win. As soon as I say to them, well, why don't they stand against Southern conservatives who fought against abolition, who fought against women's suffrage, who fought against the child labor reforms, who fought against the integration of our military, who fought against desegregation of our schools and public facilities, are fighting against civil unions today. If you can't stand against those people, then you're right. We might as well not be a party. And I think sometimes you have to call a spade, and you have to name your opponents by name.
And when I got to that part of your book, I fell out of my chair. Mary in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Please be brief. Time's clicking.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to know your opinion about the possibility of J.D. Haywood going down. The Arizona Republican here did a scathing editorial on him yesterday.
Just a few seconds. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, bless you for doing that. I don't know that he'll get beat, but the Democrats certainly have a chance of picking up Arizona 8 with Gabby Giffords, and Rick Renzi seems to be in trouble in recent polls in northeast Arizona, so I would love to see. If it's a wave election, it'll take down Hayworth, but I think the Democrats have a better chance in 1 and 8 in Arizona.
Thank you very much, Mary, and thank you, Tom Schaller. I want to talk with you again, so hold on after this, and we'll reschedule you back, because there's a lot more to talk about here. I think this is a powerful book, and it's a real pleasure to talk with you.
Well, it's been my real pleasure, too. Thank you, Peter.
Tom Schaller, S-C-H-A-L-L-E-R, Whistling Past Dixie is the book. The Free Speech Zone is next here on the Peter B.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The implications for American forces are unclear, but CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the U.S. commander in Iraq is expected to recommend that the size of Iraqi security forces be increased by up to 100,000 men.
The original number was 325,000, and the U.S. has almost reached that number now. But that number, 325,000, was set 18 months ago, and since then there's been some big changes, the most notable of which, obviously, is the explosion of sectarian violence, which the commander in Iraq, General George Casey, has called a fundamental change in the threat.
The violence claimed the lives of at least 81 Iraqis today alone, and the U.S. military death toll for the month is up to 101. They've figured it out at KFC. Under increasing pressure from health experts and consumers, KFC President Greg Diedrich says they've come up with a way to eliminate trans fat from much of their menu.
We've been working for over 2 years with extensive research and development and testing to not compromise at all on the taste of our world-famous chicken, and yet also have a zero trans fat solution.
This comes as New York City considers a law to ban trans fat in virtually all restaurant meals. WCBS Radio's Rich Lamb went to a hearing today.
It was a food fight at the Board of Health, some saying the alleged threat posed by trans fat is a lot of baloney, but others are convinced.
Trans fat is the single most harmful kind of fat.
Michael Jacobson of the Center for Science and the Public Interest supports the trans fat ban, saying it clogs arteries. Spokesman Denny Lynch says Wendy's has already banned trans fat, and flavor hasn't gone down the drain.
We were able to make the switch without having any impact on the taste of the product.
Some small restaurant owners are afraid the Board of Health will slap them with huge fines for frying with the wrong oil.
McDonald's announced 3 years ago that it planned to eliminate trans fat, but has yet to make a change. President Bush is on the stump for Republicans. Late today, he made an appearance in Sugarland, Texas, for the write-in candidate chosen by the GOP to replace Congressman Tom DeLay. Earlier, he campaigned in rural eastern Georgia against Congressman John Barrow, who seems vulnerable.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The Georgia Democrat the president is trying to help unseat is definitely the exception to the rule. Political analyst Stuart Rothenberg says there are more than 50 competitive House races, and all of them are Republicans at risk of losing their seats, due mostly to opposition to President Bush and the war. He uses a football analogy to describe where things stand.
And in fact, it's being played, frankly, between the Republicans' goal line and maybe their 30-yard line.
Unless there's some dramatic shift, he expects Democrats to take over the House while the Senate's still too close to call. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Oil prices fell more than $2 a barrel today. The Dow slipped 3 points to 12,086, and the Nasdaq gained 13 to close at 2,363. This is CBS News.
Peace of mind. We all want it, but where do you find it? And when you do find it, how long does it last? At New York Life, peace of mind starts with a promise and lasts a lifetime. The promise to pay a claim when you need it, even if that day is 30 or 40 years from now. It's why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. In the end, peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
When the little trick-or-treaters head out tomorrow, parents will want to make sure they're supervised, they're wearing safe costumes, and they don't eat any candy before it's been checked. And parents in Illinois can take an extra step by making sure there are no sex offenders along the route. WBBM Radio's Bernie Tafoya has that.
Police say you need to check online to find out if any registered sex offenders live near you and have your kids steer clear of those places. Kane County Sheriff's Detective David Thorgerson.
The biggest thing is just for everyone to be safe and have fun.
Registered sex offenders aren't supposed to open their doors to trick-or-treaters anyway, and if they do, Cook County Sheriff Mike Sheehan says the trick could be on them.
They know that we enforce the law, and they know we're going to be around, but we're not going to tell them exactly what we're going to do. They'll find out Halloween.
One good website for parents to check, familywatchdog.us.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission advises the kids wear reflective tape and carry flashlights if they're out after dark. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open for legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. If you're unable to call me on the telephone, I invite you to send me an email. That address is humblehost@peterbcollins.com. This is the Free Speech Zone, where we open up the phone lines to hear from you. My producer, Matt Renner, answers the phone. He may ask you what you want to talk about, but he will not screen you for the subject of your call, the viewpoint you offer, or the origin. You can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And we'll be taking your calls this entire hour. I want to throw out a couple of topics, and then we're going to get right to your calls. Number one, since we went live in Phoenix on KPHX, I don't believe we've had just an open, no-holds-barred conversation about immigration issues and so-called immigration reform. And I recognize that people in Arizona deal with these issues on a daily basis. You've got a huge border with Mexico on your southern frontier. And I think the problems are probably somewhat different than they are here in California. So, in general, I invite you to call and talk to me about your attitudes toward immigration, illegal immigration, and the efforts of the Republican leadership and the Bush administration to do something about it. Today's New York Times summarizes the bill that Bush signed last week as basically built on three lies. Lie number one, we're building a 700-mile fence. The bill signed by Mr. Bush includes no money for fence building. Congress has authorized $1.2 billion so far as a down payment for sealing the border, but that's meant for roads, electronic sensors, and other security tactics preferred by the Department of Homeland Security, which doesn't even want a 700-mile fence. Indian tribes, members of Congress, and local leaders will also have considerable say in where to put the fence, which could cost anywhere from $2 to $9 billion. So, it's a lie. Lie number two, a fence will help. A 700-mile fence, if it works, will only drive immigrants to other parts of the 2,000-mile border. In parts of the trackless Southwest, building the fence will require building new roads. And who uses those roads? Well, immigrants will, and smugglers. And no fence will do anything about the roughly 40% of illegal immigrants who enter legally and overstay their visas. Lie number three, the Senate's alternative bill was weak and its supporters favored amnesty. In May, the Senate passed a bill that had a fence. Not only that, it had money for a fence. It also included tough measures for cracking down on illegal hiring here in the United States. It demanded that illegal immigrants get right with the law by paying fines and taxes, learn English, and getting to the back of the citizenship line. It went overboard in some ways, weakening legal protections for immigrants and hindering judicial oversight, but it went far beyond the fence-only approach. Its shortcomings and differences with the House bill might have been worked out in negotiations, but instead, House Republican leaders held months of hearings to attack the Senate bill, and all we were left with was the fence. So, I ask our listeners in Arizona your thoughts about immigration, and if candidates are playing those issues to your satisfaction in this important midterm election. And I have some other topics, too, but, gosh, the phone switchboard is jammed, and I don't want to make people wait any longer, so I'll get to my other topics a little bit later. First up, we go to Bob in Phoenix. Nope, it's Bill in Phoenix. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Great. You know, we're very fortunate here in Phoenix. We have a great radio station that's got a great management that's doing great things. But tonight I'm celebrating the return of Michael Malloy.
Just one hour from now.
After you, we here in Phoenix get to listen to our friend Mike Malloy, and I'm celebrating.
Yeah,
I'm taking Mike Malloy out tonight.
Or
at least
are.
I'm taking my radio out. And I'm going to go to Republican headquarters at the corner of 99th and Bell in the shopping center there. And my fellow Phoenicians, could you bring a radio and come on over? And I'll be the guy playing the harmonica. You know the tune.
Uh-huh.
But Sons and Daughters. You know that tune, Peter B?
I do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was with Jesse Dion yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And got to listen to it live. I love it.
Yeah, Jesse's a great American making some fine tunes.
It's a very poignant tune.
Mm-hmm.
But please, I'd like to just invite my fellow Phoenicians to bring a radio with you. Come on over to 99th and Bell at Republican headquarters. Let's bring the truth to them because they just don't get to listen to it on their own.
Right, and if you turn those boom boxes up loud enough, they'll get to hear Mike Malloy's description of the Bush crime family, and maybe for them it'll be the first time.
I'm on my way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Good to have you listening.
Love, love, love.
Now we go to Bob in Phoenix online, too. Hello, Bob. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. Thank you for being there. I want to just say you are a breath of fresh air.
Well, this is what I love to do, and I'm delighted to be on in Phoenix, and the love is mutual.
It definitely shows. Anyway, two things to say here about the immigration thing. There's a lot better ways to spend all that money.
Yeah.
So the left. I mean, aside from any other issue and all the other BS about it, there's a lot better ways to spend that kind of money.
Clearly was the designated political wedge issue this year. It was designed to get working Americans into combat with working immigrants and distract us from the tax cuts for the rich and the general trends of, you know, raping the treasury for the benefit of the people who already have so much money.
Yeah, really. Anyway, what I called to talk about, what's more on my mind and what I heard this morning on our local radio station, evidently that Matt Salmon, I guess he's our Democratic big cheese here. I don't know what his title is, and nor do I care. We happen to have three Republican mayors.
Mm-hmm.
Came out and endorsed Janet Napolitano, Democrat, and Mr. Salmon has requested their resignation as they did not follow the party line. I thought that was rather interesting.
That is. So Salmon is the chair of the Arizona Republican Party. Is that it?
Yeah, that is my understanding. Yes.
Uh-huh.
He was this morning. He may quit now. You know, of course.
Now,
it's going to be real funny when everybody hears about it. But
it was
quite a surprise. Lynn Munsell is who is running against Janet Napolitano.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really know very much about Mr. Munsell, but everybody says that he's a nut. So
now, have any Republican mayors stepped down? For have they taken Mr. Salmon's advice?
I don't believe that they have. In fact, I believe that Elaine Scruggs, our mayor in Glendale, where I live, she's rather incensed, and I think she has suggested that Mr. Salmon maybe find something else to do.
Okay.
In any case, I'd like to say that, you know, if the Republican Party doesn't want them, we'll certainly welcome them on the Democratic Party.
Okay.
most of these mayors have been doing a fine job, so.
Well, and if they're supporting Napolitano, then they're open-minded, and they might even lean into a non-conservative direction, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue is, you know, though they're Republican, they're interested in doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Munsell is as I understand and I keep reading and hearing that he just wants to just incense and create as much confusion and light fires. We don't need that.
Yeah.
We really don't. We got enough crazy making go along in life.
Great.
We don't need any more here.
All right. Thanks a lot for checking in today.
Take good care.
Appreciate the update. Nice to talk with you. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. More of your calls coming up in a moment here in the Free Speech Zone. Want to catch up on a couple of emails. Just about 20 minutes ago, talking with Tom Schaller, we were describing that if Gore and Kerry had picked different vice presidents, they might be in the White House today, or at least we could have avoided a Bush presidency. Eric from San Francisco emails, how can we all be so smart and the professional politicians all be so stupid? Just as you and your guest both said about the 2000 race, I shouted in unison, Bob Graham was my man too. And then when you said he would have been a good VP pick in 2004 as well, I shouted at my computer again. That's what I said in 2004, too. Thank you, Eric. And let's see, we got a couple of emails in from Matthew. He said, I heard your personal support for Congressperson Pelosi. I respect your point of view. I have my opinion of Nancy Pelosi. She sucks. We both agree Dianne Feinstein sucks. He goes on, I got a bad taste in my mouth for Pelosi when I saw her on TV immediately after election as leader of the Democrats. She had her... Oh, that's not kosher. I'm old school. I believe people should cover their private parts. Okay. So this is about Nancy Pelosi's breasts. She does have some. Thank you, Matthew, for observing that. Your powers of observation are exceptional. And let's see, what else is in the... Maybe I should read these before I just open them on the air, huh? Same guy. He said, I heard your frustrated caller regarding her being on the do not call list and still getting calls. Let's try thinking about it. This is how the do not call list works. When you give your name and contact information to the do not call list controller, they put you on the do not call list, and then the do not call list is given to every telemarketer on the planet. Well, on that one, I think you probably got something, Matthew. And one more, Ryan in Phoenix. I really enjoy listening to you on my way home from work. I moved to Arizona from Nevada earlier this year, and I'm registered to vote in Arizona. I've not received a robocall from any Arizona candidate or pertaining to any Arizona ballot proposition, but I get them on a daily basis from Nevada on my cell phone. It actually humors me to hear from Nevada about the elections going on there, and in a way, I almost wish I was still able to vote there. The latest was the marijuana initiative being voted on in Nevada, which will legalize and regulate small amounts of marijuana in Nevada. Not one robocall has swayed my vote in any way, and I believe they're actually used more to encourage me to get to the polls. All right, Ryan, thank you for those comments. More of your calls coming up after a quick break. You can call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest. Well, we still may see some heavy traffic from following a major injury crash. This was in Monterey. It was northbound 101 just before Barrondo. It was a person that was trying to retrieve a couch that they had lost from their vehicle. And when they were in the process of retrieving the vehicle or the couch, they were hit. They landed a medical helicopter. But everything now cleared. Like I said, you may see some residual effects there. Santa Cruz Park Avenue at State Route 236. Have a van, looks like a handicap van, that went into a yard. Doesn't look like injuries reported there. Getting reports of a new problem in Monterey, a two-car crash northbound 101 at State Route 183. Well, this Saturday, turn $2 into $200 or millions by playing the Breeders' Cup World Championship, shown live at Bay Meadows, Golden Gate Fields, or other site tracks, starting November 9:30 a.m.
George Kuman and Golden Earring from Holland. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes past the hour. And you may have noticed that in California and on the left coast, we have switched back to standard time. And that produces a slight shift in Phoenix, Arizona, where the Peter B. Collins Show is now heard live 4 to 7 p.m. All 3 hours still live, just a little bit later start. And in the springtime, we'll flip back. But hope that all makes sense to you. Let's see, Randall in Tempe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., we have far too much daylight. We don't need to save any daylight over here.
Well, send us some. It's dark already here in California, and I kind of miss that.
Well, it sure is good to hear you. I'm usually calling about election integrity and plugging azpollworker at cox.net to recruit poll workers and poll watchers for the election, both Democratic Party and nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned immigration.
Wait. Do you have enough recruits for Tuesday?
Well, we can always use more. County elections in Maricopa County never has enough poll workers, and they're going to take them right through election day. Sometimes they hire people right out of line if there's nobody to run the polls.
Now, give us your web address again.
Well, it's an email address. It's azpollworker at cox.net. And if you send me an email and tell me your party preference, I can hook you up as either with the Democratic Party poll watching, poll observing, or the Maricopa County elections, where you get paid $115 to operate the polling place.
Oh, great. My party preference is the same as Harold Ford. I like to party with females.
Well, call me, Harold. I never get invited to the mansion. What am I doing wrong?
You're a subscriber, probably.
I used to be, but golly, I just get too frustrated looking at those, looking at those store windows and all those toys that you can't have.
I understand.
But we're going to go astray here. Immigration is so demagogued here, and one of the big lies in the Joseph Goebbels, J.D. Hayworth, John Kyle campaign is that immigrants don't pay their way and that we're subsidizing their medical care and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of it is, of course, that immigrants do pay taxes. They pay sales taxes. If they rent an apartment, they pay property taxes through their landlord. They pay fuel taxes when they gas up their car. And
most of them never collect a tax refund.
That's right. And if they're working on a fake Social Security card, which a lot of them are, they pay into the Social Security Trust Fund, and they never collect. And they also pay federal income tax withholding, which they never get a refund. And the fact that Social Security really is solvent until 2040 or whenever is partly because of all these illegal immigrants paying into the trust fund. And I think we ought to throw them a parade and thank them for keeping Social Security solvent.
Yeah.
And
well, I appreciate your approach to this, because even many Democrats and progressives have become kind of radicalized over immigration issues. And I freely acknowledge that we've got a problem, that we do not currently control our borders. And I think it's in our best interest to control our borders. But we're not going to do it with a fence. The National Guard being deployed there is just a continuous photo op at expense to the states that send them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we are not dealing with the issue except to send out press releases and fire up the hateful rhetoric. And I hope that a new Congress will have a balanced approach to this and will balance enforcement of our borders with enforcement of our employment laws.
It's all propaganda. And there's a couple other points, too. I wish I had LexisNexis. I guess it costs money, but I wish somebody would do some research. I remember a couple of years back there were some U.S. corporations that were caught actively recruiting cheap labor in Mexican villages. And I can't remember if it was Walmart or Tyson Foods or some of the meat packers, and they were maybe paying coyotes to recruit workers and bring them over. And these are the same corporations that are giving money to J.D. Hayworth and John Kyle and Trent Franks and John Shattuck and Rick Renzi and all these guys who are demagoguing against immigration.
Well, I hear that, and their hypocrisy rings loud and clear all the way out here in California. Hey, thanks a lot for the call today. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right. Let's see. Next, we got Mark and Marina. Thanks for your call, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Peter B. Enjoyed your little bit of golden earring there.
Oh, good.
You're just an unrepentant old rock and roller, aren't you?
It's true. The bumper music on this show is played for my pleasure, and if you enjoy it, then that's just a bonus.
There you go. Hey, you know, something I was thinking about this. I was listening to the program this afternoon, and I don't have a horse in either of the races, in these races here, but I really think that the end game here for the Democrats is actually, if they take the House and the Senate, is to impeach the President and the Vice President and install the Secretary, or excuse me, the Secretary, but the Speaker of the House as President.
Mm-hmm.
Next in line is the Senate. I really believe that's the end game.
Well, you got to be careful here, okay? Because first and foremost, as I've said on this program, I believe that Bush and Cheney deserve to be indicted. They deserve to be impeached by the House and a trial held in the Senate. But we have to be careful that we don't impeach Bush and get Cheney. You got to take Cheney out first, and then Cheney would be replaced by an appointed president approved by the, an appointed VP confirmed by the Senate. So the likelihood that it would ever get to the Speaker of the House is quite remote in my view. The other thing we have to look at is pure politics. And that is, it would take a year to get the whole investigation cycle and the House part of the work up to speed. That would put a trial in the Senate into the presidential election year of 2008. And while you might expect that that would redound to the benefit of Democrats as you parade the dirty laundry of the Republicans for all to see, I can't count on that. And I think that in many respects, I'd like to see full investigation. I'd like to see accountability. And if impeachment can be managed in a way that doesn't end up promoting Republicans in one manner or another, I would cautiously favor it. But at this point, I have to say, on a practical level, an attempt to remove Bush and or Cheney from office could backfire on Democrats. So we've got to approach it very thoughtfully. I'm out of time this segment, Mark, but thank you for your call from Marina today. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. You can grab a line and straighten me out if you disagree with me. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The health care system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. Election Day, a week from tomorrow. Think they might lose your vote?
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had a water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote, it isn't fair. I took a stand, doesn't anybody care? They lost my vote, now do you know where did my ballot go?
Ellen Buxtell. That song was co-written by Ellen and Nancy Wurzberger. They were on our program last week, and it's called They Lost My Vote. And there are a lot of Americans who are quite vigilant around the midterm elections next Tuesday. And one of them is, the Women Donors Network. They have a full-page ad that got my attention in the New York Times today because it involves a kind of Halloween theme with the election next week. It says, your vote will not count. No one can stop it, not even Count Hakula. And they have a website at StopCountHakula.com. I give them high points for cleverness. Donna Hall joins us from the Women Donors Network. Hello, Donna.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Who's the clever group or individual who came up with the Stop Count Hakula concept?
Well, I have to give the credit for the concept to our brilliant advertising agency in New York, a company called Avenging Angels.
Oh, who's the principal there? It's
a guy named Gene Case.
Yeah. I've talked to him a couple of times over the years. He did some guerrilla marketing around the time of the Republican convention in New York in 2004.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's been our angel on this project. We got involved pretty late in the game, and in a very short time, he developed this concept, and there we are in the news today.
Well, I think this is a great idea. What's it cost to run a full-page ad in the National New York Times?
Well, we're a nonprofit, so the nonprofit rate, which included the City of New York and the National, I think was about $50,000.
Wow.
And we felt it was money well spent because we are going to be going into districts that are being heavily contested and are very close races. And this helped to bring attention to that.
Well, you got my attention. Now, let's talk about the 4 points that you make related to the election next week. Number one, worried about your registration? Call your county election board before election day and confirm you're registered. We know that under HAVA and under, shall we say, the stewardship of people we don't trust as secretaries of state, Ken Blackwell, I'm talking about you, that hundreds of thousands of people may have been purged from the voter rolls, and that some tricky letters have been sent to voters in Ohio and in California, possibly other places, that may lead people to believe that they're no longer registered.
That is correct, and that's why these ads will go out early, and they'll have numbers in local ads. They'll have phone numbers for folks to call so they can verify that they are, in fact, on the rolls.
So it says you're going to publish the county numbers. There'll be more of these full-page ads. Is that the idea?
There will. They'll be, they will be, you know, adapted to meet specific conditions in various places. For each $30,000 that we're raising, we can go into one or several districts in a state, depending on which state.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been poring over all of the districts looking for the closest races.
Yeah.
And are making decisions as we go.
Now, there's a great documentary coming out that HBO will start screening this Thursday night called Hacking Democracy. One of the producers will be on with us tomorrow. And there are some other great documentaries out right now. I think one is called Voting Blackout or something like
American
that.
American Blackout, yeah.
Thank you, American Blackout. And there I saw these long lines in Ohio, the way the games were played in Georgia to try to defeat Cynthia McKinney. And if you confront long lines at your polling place, Women Donors Network has a toll-free number people can call. It's 1-866-OUR-VOTE. Who does that go to, Donna?
Well, it will be a channel to people in the local area so that they can follow up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then number three, if your voting machine doesn't work right, demand an emergency paper ballot. Now, we give a lot of credit to Brad Friedman for this. He's at bradblog.com, a regular contributor to our program, and he started the effort to get these emergency paper ballots out. And you correctly note in the ad, do not accept a provisional ballot. Explain the difference.
Well, a provisional ballot is what people have heard about for a long time that is often given in sort of a, you know, at the last minute like that, and they are often, almost always not counted. So it's really important to ask for this paper ballot. The other thing that we're recommending is that in places where they can, people go early to vote. In some cases, they can go a day or two early, or they can go very early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the fourth point is that if you witness what appears to be a crime at a polling place, you can call the whistleblower hotline at 1-888-VOTE-TIP. That's 888-VOTE-TIP. And there's a great reminder here that you can take a picture of any anomalies that surface there with your cell phone. And there's also a group called videothevote.org. I think that's coming out of the Guerrilla News Network in New York. And they are encouraging people to go to the polling places with cameras, particularly if you see lines, if you see limited voting machines or voting machine crashes, those sorts of things. We need to document as much of this as possible so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Well, Donna Hall, I thank you for your advocacy here. And please, a tip of my hat to the folks at the Women Donors Network.
Thank you so much, and a tip of our hat to you.
Okay, that's easy.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Donna. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Now we take more of your calls, and let's see who has been holding the longest. I look at my screen, and it looks like Mark in Glendale. Hello, Mark. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello. I was calling about the fence there along the border.
Right.
And I think it's real important that we do that because Halliburton needs another no-bid, cost-plus contract.
Your generosity is unparalleled.
In fact, I felt so strongly about it. I got a Republican mailer seeking contributions, and they had a postage prepaid envelope.
Mm-hmm.
I taped it to a brick to help get them started. I would encourage anyone else to do the same.
I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was in the 1980s. Time magazine had a best-selling issue with Cheryl Teagues on the cover in a swimsuit, and one of her nipples was rigid. And this obviously was not lost on the photo editors or the people at Time, who then used her photo from the cover for one of those blow-in cards, the kind that falls out of the magazine to annoy you and try to get you to subscribe. And so I started a campaign to have people mail in those blow-in cards to Time with a message scrawled on the back, don't sell Time with T-I. Are we allowed to say tits? I don't know. Anyway, don't sell Time with And we got 10,000 people to mail those in, and I guess Time Magazine had to pay 30 cents each or whatever the postcard rate was at the time. So I think you're a very resourceful guy. Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks.
Nice to talk with you. Now to Barbara in Cave Creek. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I have a few things. Number one, in Arizona, just because you were talking about this, in Arizona when you vote, we need to bring our IDs as well. We need to bring our voter registration cards and our driver's license or photo IDs. And in Arizona, you have a choice whether you put your P.O. box or your home address, your mailing or home address, on your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to remind everybody who in Arizona who's listening, and you're on here, to bring, if you have a different address on your license that you do on your registration card, which has your home address, then you should bring a couple of bills, like your electric bill that has your name and address, or your water bill or something like that, to the poll with you, so they won't give you a provisional ballot. Because I called today and they said, oh, we'll give you a provisional ballot. And I said, no, you won't. What do I have to do?
Right.
What do I have to bring?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bringing that. I'm also going to try to find a place up here to vote early.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that...
also, just let me jump in. I hope that voters in Arizona will gather information about the photo ID issue, see if it is consistently applied, see if every individual is asked for this identification, or if
they're just asking the Democrats.
Well, or if they use it to harass certain types of people to try to suppress their vote. That's what I want to see, because that's the argument that has been advanced against it. That is the argument that has caused the Supreme Courts of Missouri and Georgia to turn down as unconstitutional the requirement for a photo ID.
Right.
And I hope to see that overturned in Arizona in the near future as well.
Yeah, that would be good. But the other thing, the other reason I was calling is the do not call list lets politicians call you anytime, any place. They're excluded.
Well, they wrote the law.
Do not call list.
They wrote the law.
Yeah. So they can call you. As somebody who's trying to lower your phone bill and give you a better deal on your internet services is not allowed to call you, which I find, I understand the harassment of it. I also, sometimes they're calling to make things better for you.
Yeah. The emailer, I have never submitted my number to the do not call list because I don't trust that. But whenever I get a telemarketing call,
does work.
I'm very polite, and the first thing I say is, would you please take me off your list?
Right, but, Peter, here, if you do business with somebody, I used to be in the business, for like 100 days, they can call you as well. They're exempt, like your phone company or your gas company.
Right.
What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, what I was saying...
Anyway, they can call you. And it does work. It does take time, but it does work if you put your name on it.
Yeah. Well, and of course, it's hard to recognize the absence of annoying phone calls.
And if you... Right. This is true. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention for Arizona is that there is a federal investigation into Rick Remsey, who's a Republican. He has... a conflict of interest with his father, a former general, who's benefiting from the Mantech International Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article about it on the United Press International site.
Okay.
If you Google Rick Renzi, it's with an R-E-N-Z-I.
Okay.
And go to the United Press International site. Inquiry focuses on U.S. Representative Rick Renzi, so... And he's running against a wonderful woman and putting out the dirtiest, filthiest ads, calling her a child molester. Because she worked for the American Civil Liberties Union once.
Oh, that's a direct connection. That's really powerful logic. Barbara, thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you, toll free. I wanted to air out this email because Karen Q has so far not called the program. Karen emailed last week after she heard me interviewing the Green Party candidate for senator here in California and announcing that I'm going to vote for him instead of Dianne Feinstein, who votes with the Republicans too often for my liking. And Karen wrote to the radio station in Phoenix, "I am a faithful Air America listener, but I'm extremely upset with the Peter B. Collins show. As the Democrats are fighting to take back the Senate, he is actually advocating voting against Dianne Feinstein and voting for the Green Party. How dare he advocate that at such an imperative time? Please do something." Well, I replied to Karen, and I invited her to call the program to argue her case and make her point. And, Karen, I offer you that time right now. There's two lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're listening right now, I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'll explain to you that Dianne Feinstein is going to win without my vote. She's polling at 65-70%. Her Republican opponent has not touched her in any way. And I think it's important to send a message to the Lieberman wing of the Democratic Party that there are those of us who will not support these candidates just automatically. That's my point. You want to argue it? I'd love to hear from you. You want to agree with me? You can call, too. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But first, check your kitchen, will you? You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew, a side of couscous and a baba ghanoush. Yeah, open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to. Down in Monterey.
Our friends. And a very pleasant good evening. Let's take a look at the very latest. Well, we want to take a look at a crash in Monterey, northbound 101 at Main Street. Left lane blocked. CHP on the scene because of a, looks like this is a, well, they're saying it's two vehicles involved in this crash. Not a whole lot of details, but nevertheless, left lane blocked, northbound 101 at Main. And then we want to take a look at a injury crash in Monterey, Davis Road at Blanco. Reports just coming in. Two cars involved in this one. and it looks like lanes blocked. Fire department being summoned to the scene there. And Highway 183, that's at Blackie Road. Two vehicle crash there, a Jeep Cherokee and another vehicle. Everything off to the right-hand shoulder. And the support brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packs that hold very big wipes to clean, cool, and soothe. Even when you're not at home, Preparation portable wipes, big relief to go. Mike on traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes away from the hour. Phoenix, you have about 15 minutes to wait for the return of Mike Malloy on KPHX 1480. Hey, what rhymes with hypocrite? I better fade it, because, you know, Mick Jagger, he could get me a $350,000 fine. Here comes the chorus. How come you're so wrong? My sweet neocon. Mick and the Stones are touring. They're playing in Oakland next week. And we're joined now from Discovery Bay. Doug is on the line. Hi, Doug. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
I'm actually on Vasco Road. We can't get your program out here during the day, so I pick it up on my iPod through iTunes and listen to it religiously.
Well, thank you for going to that trouble.
Yeah, I just want to make a brief comment. You know, I live out here in beautiful Contra Costa County, and we don't have, how can I say, we don't have the fun of D-Bolt machines. We have ES&S M100 systems out here. And the thing that's bothering me is, you know, there's good news. Let me start again. There's good news in that we do have paper ballots. The bad news is that these are optical scan machines. They're letting people take them home for sleepovers.
Well, you bet. I mean, if you had a voting machine, wouldn't you want to dress it up in a little negligee and party with it? You know, put it on your favorite pillow and tuck it in?
I mean, it's a great doorstop. You can maybe put your kids' video games on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. And, you know, it just bothers me. I've actually talked to some people down in the registrar's office and... You know, and there's this one guy who was apologetic. He says, yeah, we do have seals on the SRAM card. And by the way, the architecture is very similar to D-Bolt.
Right.
And Dave Dill,
at Stanford.
Right. He's made a few comments. And between that and the fact they're only going to do an audit of 1%, which really doesn't tell you much at all, statistically speaking, we've got a problem here in Contra Costa County. Well, anyway, that's my comment, Peter.
Well, I'm glad you're paying attention and that you know what a sleepover is. I hope that more people are going to understand after this election just how compromised our election systems are. And I hope that we survive the election and that the polls, the pre-election polls, are borne out, that we have a change in control in Washington. And then I hope we can wake up the Democrats, because it's been very difficult to get them to see that some of these elections that have been lost may have been stolen. And it appears that the leadership doesn't want to open the Pandora's box. We've got to force them not only to open it, but to examine the contents and make sure that it's transparent in the future, and that we don't have these private companies with their secret codes controlling our elections. We simply cannot tolerate it.
Right. It's kind of the congressman or woman who's running should not concede until they're fully convinced that every vote has been counted.
I sure agree with you. Thanks a lot for the call. Now to Steve in Watsonville. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Steve.
PBC.
What's up?
I'd like to reference a Republican attack ad, TV ad, in my Monterey Bay Area Assembly District. First, let me condemn the vapidity of a Republican radio ad running often in synchronization with your own ads. You do some great spots, you know, on KRXA.
Yeah.
That and the GM of KRXA tells me that despite the misleading nature of Jeff Denham's ads, he makes it sound like he's not partisan. In any case, it is widely known.
You do understand that radio stations are required to accept political advertising from all parties.
Absolutely, and the Republicans have the money so that they can put an ad on a liberal station and make their candidate sound like he's not really, a right-wing nut job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that brings me back to my assembly district, where the beautiful, articulate, and brilliant Ana Caballero is being painted as soft on gangs by a guy who looks suspiciously like he studied death squad techniques under John Negroponte himself.
Steve, on a good day,
yeah,
you really nail it. Today's been a good day. I got to run. I got a bunch of other callers here. I'm not going to get to everybody, but I'll do my best here. Let's try Gary in St. Louis. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller, and I just discovered you about a month ago, and I'm addicted.
Well, can I make you vice president for marketing in St. Louis?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you can.
You've got the game.
Peter, I agree with you 100%.
Oh, that's scary.
I'm an avid fan of Mike Malloy. I'm known as concerned parent all over the Internet, so I... as a blogger, so...
Well, I want to direct people to novamradio.com, because we're going to go off the air here in a couple of minutes, and not everybody's on that stream, but if you go to novamradio.com...
I'm there right now.
Wherever you're listening today, you can hear Mike Malloy coming up about 9 minutes from now.
Let me say this.
Yep.
Okay, look here. The Democrats who voted against habeas corpus, Rockefeller,
yep.
Nelson, Florida, Pryor, Arkansas.
Both Nelsons, yeah.
Lieberman, Connecticut,
right.
Johnson, South Dakota,
yep.
Menendez, New Jersey,
you're
Pryor,
right.
I bet you him, Salazar,
Colorado,
and Stabenow, Miami.
Stabenow's from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes.
Yep.
You are
correct. All those names are people in the Senate who voted with the Republicans.
Who voted against habeas corpus.
Well,
can you believe Rockefeller did that?
I cannot believe it, and I'm still waiting for an explanation. Same with Salazar.
I expected Joe Lieberman to do it. He's the ultimate traitor of the Democratic Party and our Constitution. Well, all of these candidates violated their oath to office. And they do not deserve to represent our country on any level. They do not deserve to hold any elective office in this country. They swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. They violated and they went against the Constitution to please their master Bush.
I agree with your interpretation. Gary, great to have you listening in St. Louis, Missouri. And you spread the word there. Call me again, will you?
Sure.
All right, Trigger's here. I got to go. Time for me to ride off into the sunset. Sorry we didn't get to all your calls today. There are some callers who want to talk to us about a cover-up of a situation in Iraq where as many as 300 may have died. We're going to be covering that the next few days, so stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show. And in Phoenix, stay tuned for Mike Malloy on KPHX, or go to...
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The U.S. commander in Iraq wants more. CBS News has learned General George Casey is expected to recommend that the size of Iraqi security forces, already near their goal of 325,000, be increased by as much as a third. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant. He's been to Iraq.
We are encountering, of course, the insurgents. We're still dealing with elements of Al-Qaeda. There, frankly, there's a large, enormous criminal problem in Iraq, but the deadly problem that has come up of late, of course, is intersectarian violence.
That violence claimed more than 80 Iraqi lives today, and the U.S. military death toll for the month rose to 101. General Casey is also expected to ask for more money to equip the Iraqis with armored vehicles and heavier weapons.
I'm Peter Mayer in Sugarland, Texas. As the October U.S. death toll in Iraq surpasses 100, President Bush is making next week's election a referendum on his war strategy.
Democrat goal is to get out of Iraq. The Republican goal is to win in Iraq.
Mr. Bush avoided any direct mention of the heavy U.S. casualties, but he said the fighting is tough. Many Democrats are also framing next week's vote as a decision on the future course of the U.S. presence in Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Sugarland, Texas.
The key seats are everywhere. Every district matters equally.
Larry Sabato, director of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics, says it looks right now like the Democrats will gain a majority in the House, but the Senate, 8 days out, is a toss-up. KFC is the latest major restaurant chain to make the transition from cooking oil with trans fat to a healthier alternative. KFC says it's switching to soybean oil at all 5,500 outlets in the United States and claims customers won't know the difference. There was a public hearing today on a proposal that would make New York City the first city in the nation to ban trans fat from restaurant meals. These New York consumers think that goes too far.
People should be responsible for what they do themselves, and it's not the government's business. If a restaurant wants to use it, let them use it. Let them tell the people that they're using it, and then everyone has to make their own decision.
In Southern California, investigators are questioning two men in connection with the deadly wildfire that burned across 63 square miles. It's 90% contained now. Goodyear Tire and Rubber says it will close its plant in Tyler, Texas, eliminating